This traffic report sponsored by Spot Hero.
I don't understand.
Finally.
I don't understand your 10-second pause in that commercial.
I'll show you the copy sometime.
He was building to something.
I'll show you the copy sometime.
I know,
sometime,
but it scares me because I think we're off the air. Every alarm in the building, every alarm goes off.
Because, oh, that's what I've been hearing down the hall in master control.
Yeah, we
I
have these
this.
Alarms. When there's like silence
so
for
that's what
30 that. Minutes like you do every time you do that commercial.
30 minutes. Here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART, S-M-A-R-T, for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center on this final Sunday in winter, no less. A mild, sunny day today, high in the mid-50s. Fair overnight tonight, low in the upper 20s inland, the middle 30s downtown. Cloudiness for tomorrow afternoon, highs in the 40s, about 30 near the lake. And right now we have 37 at O'Hare, 36 at Midway, also 36 along the lakefront.
What does it say on that commercial? Pause for 15 seconds?
It says pause here. Actually, it says here, the traffic report sponsored by Spot Hero. And finally.
And then in parentheses, does it say pause?
Parenthetically.
For 15 seconds?
Parenthetically, it says pause.
What do you mean parenthetically?
In parentheses, you know, it's the same thing. Okay. And finally. Pause. Here's a way you can save time parking.
All right. Can you pause like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in my heart attack here, Schwani.
Okay. Fair enough.
I can't take the shock every half hour like that.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'll
You're like an audible defibrillator paddle to me. Give me that shock every half hour.
All right.
Are you trying to give me a heart attack?
No, I'm not trying to give you a heart attack. I'm just trying to change it up, as they say. You know, give it a little variety. Do a different read, you know, in the commercial.
You could just woo. It would be good.
Yeah, I could do woo.
Yeah, why don't you do a little different sound effect between each one? Why don't you do something like
that? We'll try that then.
All
yes.
Right. All right.
In honor and in celebration of Loyola. Yes. Let's do that.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom. Ready to join the conversation? We'll see. Whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
He goes into the show saying, "I'm ready to join the conversation." And then after one newscast, he goes, "How quick can I get out of here?" I think it's super exciting about Loyola.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they won again yesterday, the last few seconds.
I didn't see the game yesterday. I saw the second half on Thursday.
Yeah.
That was great.
Another one, like right at the last few seconds.
Yep. 3.3 seconds to go.
Wow. Very exciting, even though you'd never know it from the play-by-play announcer that we just heard.
And Loyola wins again.
Right. Can we get Sister Jean to do the play-by-play?
Tell you what, she would do it, too.
Yeah? I know. She'd be great.
She is one of the nicest human beings you'll ever come across in your entire life.
Very true. Yeah, we've had her on the show many times. We haven't in a while, but she's been making the media rounds.
She's America's darling.
She truly is America.
She's the star of the team, along with the coach and everybody else.
Did you hear, though, that she filled out a bracket? And she only has Loyola winning into the Sweet 16. She has not picked them further.
That's right. She has not picked them to win the next game.
Oh.
But I think the guys will respect her nonetheless.
Well, now she's given them something to, aspire to.
And she probably did that on purpose.
To prove them wrong. Yeah, to, prove me wrong.
There you go.
Like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the equivalent of, you know, back in the day, I don't know if nuns still do this now, but back in the day, like holding a ruler in front of the class. Yeah, I just dare anybody to talk right now. I dare anybody. Boom, 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 boom. And I didn't
walk
even go
up
to
and down the aisles.
Yeah, just, you know, smacking the ruler in her hand. And I didn't even go to Catholic school. And I'm even traumatized by that. I went to public school and I'm traumatized by that. I hope everybody had a nice St. Patrick's Day. We had a blast on the WGN TV float that went down Columbus yesterday. Great crowd. Really nice, enthusiastic, fun.
And a good day for the parade, too.
It was a nice day. The sun finally came out yesterday, and it was very pleasant. As usual, the big star of our WGN TV float, Bozo the Clown. People going crazy to see Bozo. But who else do we have? Tanya Francisco, Lauren Jiggetts was on our float with us, and Ben Bradley. And Elliot from Chicago's Best was on the float. And we had a blast. We had a great, great time.
I take it you were on the float also.
I was on the float.
I ran down the names.
Yeah, I was.
Was T. Skilling there?
T. Skilling was not available yesterday, apparently, to be a part of the float. But plenty of people said to me, hi, Tom.
You've said they've mistaken you for
Tom.
Sometimes.
Oh, they always do, yeah. I think this is the year I'm going to have T-shirts made that say, I am not Tom Skilling.
No, what you should do is make one that says, I'm with Tom, and then have the hand pointing over to him.
Well, really what I want to do, because often Tom and I are both, you know, in the same place, and I have had it happen where I am standing right next to Tom Skilling, and people still think I'm Tom Skilling. Apparently I look more like Tom Skilling than Tom Skilling does. Which I don't completely understand. So what? And he tells me that people often mistake him for me. So what I'm thinking of doing is getting T-shirts for me that says I'm not Tom Skilling, and for him saying I'm not Dean Richards.
Nice.
Yeah, go with that.
Or he can just get one that says I'm with Stupid. Pointing.
Well, I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, I know you were thinking it.
I didn't want to go there.
I know you were thinking it. I just wanted to say it. I could feel you were thinking it. No, but we had a nice time yesterday. And so I met the Jewel, as I always go, super early on Saturday morning. I like to go real early before they get busy, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Sometimes. Did you have your blanket with you?
I'd
cover up the cart?
I like to cover up my cart because I don't think it's anyone's business what I'm buying. So, but the store, it's 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. The store is packed with millennials buying cases and cases of beer. 7 o'clock in the morning.
It was crowded on almost every major street.
Crazy.
In Chicago yesterday.
Crazy. It was like insanely crowded downtown yesterday. So many people staggering down the street as we finished the parade. You're watching the human carnage. This is, the rally during the parade. I didn't see any actual human carnage this morning of people.
I didn't either.
But here's what I did see. Went across the street because I had $17, and I said, I think I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. I'm crossing the street, and there's, Kelly green something in the middle of the street as I get closer to it. It's a pair of pants.
Ah, great.
Pair of pants in the middle of the street.
Nice.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
I'll bet it was.
I've never seen that before. I've seen the funny hats and little things.
I've seen various articles of clothing in the street after St. Patty's Day.
I've never seen anyone losing their
green
pants.
Their pants. And in Michigan Avenue, no less.
And the Magnificent Mile. Now we know what makes the mile so magnificent. All right. Let's clean this place up. We've got kids' sports back again today.
Yes.
And we'll do that when we come back from the break. It's 9:20, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
Kids sports.
I'm guessing that it's time for kids sports. 9:23 on WGN, and my pleasure to welcome our kids sportscaster of the week, Kevin O'Connor. Kevin, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you here today. You're 12 years old, I know, mm-hmm. right? Sixth grader?
Yes.
And at what school?
St. Hilary.
And tell me, what are your favorite things in school? What are your favorite subjects in school?
My favorite subject, probably reading, because I like the interest in books.
Yeah.
And like how there's different, like science fiction, realistic fiction, nonfiction.
Right.
I like a lot of nonfiction.
You like nonfiction. Nonfiction.
So I like reading like the Who Was books.
Okay.
Where it was, like, and also they have like March on Washington, like all these famous people.
Wow.
And their stories on how they impacted like the world.
Right.
So
good for you. Good for you. But you also like science fiction, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like, are you a Marvel Comics kid?
No, we're reading a book in our class. It's called A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, that's the new movie that's out right
yeah.
now with Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
And are you enjoying that? Because some people
yeah.
say that's a little hard to, when you read the book, it's a little
yeah,
hard to
class.
Get into it.
Reads it, and then they're like, people have different parts of like the characters.
Okay.
So it kind of gets everyone into the book and gets everyone apart.
Yeah, and then do you discuss the book? Oh, you know, I like this,
yeah.
or I like that part.
Yeah, like before the tests and everything.
Yeah, are you enjoying the book so far?
Yeah, it's
yeah?
really good.
Oh, good. All right, so before you do your sports cast, you have a couple of people that you want to shout out today, right?
Yeah.
And who would that be?
So first, it's my mom and my dad.
Right.
My friends that I play with, so Nicholas, Don, Jeremy, and also I want to shout out to Dean because he gave me this opportunity to be on the news.
Oh, aren't you nice? Thank you. That's very nice of you. But I just want to remind you also another shout out. Not that I'm prompting you or anything, but isn't your aunt a big? She's a loyal.
My mom and. My aunt. My mom went to Loyola, I believe.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. And your aunt went there, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got a couple of reasons to be super excited about mm-hmm. the Loyola Ramblers today. Are you all set to do the sports?
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kevin O'Connor, our kid sportscaster of the week. Take it away, buddy.
The Ramblers will keep on dancing. The Loyola's men's basketball team has advanced to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA March Madness Tournament following a nail-biting win over the Tennessee Volunteers in Dallas. The Ramblers keep a steady lead for most of the game, but it came down to a single basket that left the Rambler fans smiling like a butcher's dog. Final score, 63-62.
Like a butcher's dog?
Yeah.
They're hungry. Hungry like a butcher's dog. Did you watch the game yesterday?
No.
No, you were busy playing yeah. with your friend.
Yeah.
Okay. A little reality check.
Hawks, what else? The Hawks were not so lucky last night, taking a tough loss on the road to the hands of the Buffalo Sabres. Taves have an okay night with just a goal and an assist on 5 shots on the Sabres' goal, but the Hawks just couldn't stand up to the Buffalo's offense. Reinhart, Baptiste, and O'Reilly and the Sabres gave the Hawks' defense their money's worth. Final score, 5-3. The Bulls also had a rough go of it yesterday, facing against the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they put up a good fight on court. Forward Denzel Valentine scored 34 points, beating LeBron James for the top scorer of the night, but King James and the rest of the Cavaliers took the game, finishing 114-109. I mean, at least the Cubs had a good day against Cleveland. Cubbies topped the Cleveland Indians 11-4 in spring training. The Cubs batted Cleveland pitcher Ryan Mart in spring in with 11 hits, 3 home runs, and 8 runs in 3 innings. The Cubs are back at it again today, first pitch at 3:05. And the White Sox keep their spring training, as well as today, the Oakland Athletics first pitch at 3:05 as well. Reporting for your kids' sports on WGN Radio, I'm Kevin O'Connor. You stay classy, Chicago.
All right. Very nice, Kevin. Very nice job.
Nice.
I like your enthusiasm with that. Now, Kevin, Andy, I don't know if you can get this done in any way.
Mm-hmm.
He should be calling the Loyola Ramblers games instead of that wet noodle from Westwood One.
Yeah, Westwood One. He didn't have the same gusto that Kevin did
down there.
That's
exactly correct. Exactly
correct. The butcher's dog. That's good.
That's
good.
I like that. I like that very much. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, was it fun?
Yeah, thank
what,
you.
What are your favorite sports? Do you like to play
baseball.
Sports?
Baseball.
Like, yeah, you're a baseball player?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you play at Wells Park,
Wells
I think,
Park.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you did a great job today. We've got a $50 Lou Malnati's gift certificate for you.
Thank you.
You know, right near Wells Park, there's a Lou Malnati's right there on Montrose. So, you know, the next pizza party's on you, clearly. thank you for coming in. Kevin O'Connor, your kid sportscaster of the week. Appreciate that. And we're going to take a quick break, get all updated on the news. All next for you on WGN. All right, I you know should mention that if you have a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter who you think might have fun doing our kids sports segment, just send an email, probably best just to send it directly to me, which is deanrichards@wgnradio.com. Dean Richards, all one word, at wgnradio.com. And we'll put you on the list. And, I actually had somebody this week apply to be on Kids Sports of the Week, 25 years old. Probably a little. I'm not sure that we have exact parameters, but.
We're children at heart.
Yeah.
I would like to apply.
Okay.
I would like to apply then, too.
Okay. We'll put you both on the list.
Thank you.
Yeah. Happy to consider both of you. But Dean Richards. I'm going to say, what's a good cutoff age for this?
You know,
12?
25 is a little. No.
What was the high school guy we had on a couple weeks ago? Was he 15, 16, something like that?
Yeah,
I think he was pretty good.
I think probably in about that neighborhood.
Yeah, I think you're right.
16, 17
16,
years
old. Yeah, okay.
16, 17 years old, something.
Not 61, huh?
No.
Okay.
No. You've already got a job anyway, Shawnee. And once you perfect it, then we'll think about getting you to do something else.
His sportscast would have long pauses in them, though.
Oh, jeez. Take a half an hour. We've got one of those aforementioned newscasts now, sponsored by the hipandkneecenter.com. That's a little more your speech, Shawnee. With the latest, here's Dave Schwann.
And police are investigating a drive-by shooting that killed one person and injured another last night at 49th and Ashland. Police say it happened around 10:30 when someone pulled alongside two people in a Chevy Equinox and began firing. The passenger in the Equinox was killed. The driver made it to the Englewood Police Station. They're now in stable condition. A Syrian Kurdish official says the war with Turkey has now entered what they call a new phase of guerrilla warfare after Turkish troops and allied forces entered the Syrian town of Afrin. Turkey announced today it's entered the town of Afrin nearly 2 months after it began its offensive on the district with the same name. And the investigation continues into the death of a 24-year-old man who fell from the 21st floor of a high-rise building in the 200 block of North Dearborn yesterday. This happened just after 6 o'clock tonight. 6 o'clock last night, rather. We will check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Yeah, the Ramblers headed to the Sweet 16 after Loyola knocking off Tennessee yesterday 63-62, a jump shot with 3.3 seconds left to go. Off the fingertips of Clayton Custer, he gets the friendly bounce off the rim and the game-winning shot. Loyola out of the Sweet 16 for the first time in 33 years. They'll be in Atlanta to take on the winner of today's game between Nevada and Cincinnati. Elsewhere yesterday in the tournament, advancing teams were this: Michigan, Kentucky, Kansas, Gonzaga, Villanova, Texas Tech, and Duke. Bulls fall to Cleveland 114-109 last night, despite 34 points from Denzel Valentine. Another dismal finish for the Blackhawks. They lose at Buffalo yesterday 5-3, but right back at it tonight. We'll be back at the United Center to take on the St. Louis Blues. Chris Bowden will have your pregame at 6, the faceoff with John Troy at 6:30 here on WGN and on WGNradio.com. White Sox, a winner over the Dodgers yesterday in Glendale, 5-2. Avi Garcia with three hits in that game. Cubs and Indians splitting a pair of split squad games in Arizona. And Henrik Stenson will take a one-shot lead into the final round of the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill today. Tiger Woods lurking 5 shots back heading into the final round.
I could go for a nice Arnold Palmer right now.
Yeah, it seemed pretty good yesterday, and I think today's going to be warmer, so yeah, why not?
Yeah, very refreshing.
Go out and walk around and have a nice little Arnold Palmer and just avoid the Jim Daly's. John Daly.
What's a John Daly?
John Daly, the other golfer that it's a little alcoholic version of the Arnold Palmer.
Is it the same ingredients as an Arnold Palmer, only with booze?
I believe they are the same ingredients with three parts booze, one part lemonade, one part iced tea.
Oh, good night.
You remember John Daly? He came out of nowhere and won the
Big John
the
Daly.
U.S. Open, yeah. A few years ago. Actually, 1991, so that's more than a few years ago.
Big John, yeah.
Yeah, kind of fell off the map. And
I think he may have had a couple of those drinks, maybe.
Yeah, might have been on the golf course
made
as well.
Fall off the map.
There you go. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and now Chicago White Sox baseball. I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic still a little slow on I-57 outbound before 103rd because of an earlier car fire. Other than that, we look good on our expressways and tollways this morning. One other item to report downtown, Upper Wacker between Jackson and Adams is closed until noon because of a helicopter lift. The CTA rerouting numbers 126 and 151 buses.
I'm looking for the helicopter sound effect.
Okay. Let me know when you find it.
I'm looking.
Talk about dead air.
Well, I didn't know that you were going to have this story today.
I didn't either until it cropped up on the map. But it...
I don't suppose by any chance a jet is doing anything.
It could be one of those jet copters.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
So if you are at or near Upper Wacker between Jackson and Adams, avoid the area until noon because of the helicopter lift.
This thing's heavy.
The CTA rerouting 126 and 151 buses. This traffic report and the sound effects.
I don't know how to turn it off. It's the problem. I should have learned how to turn this off.
Welcome, sweet springtime. This traffic report sponsored by Aurora University.
Oh.
Pursue your passion with a degree from Aurora University online.
Yep.
Choose fully online programs in business, computer science, and more. To learn more, visit online.aurora.edu. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The WGN forecast, what a nice day today. Sunny skies, high in the mid-50s, fair overnight, low in the upper 20s inland, about 30 downtown. Tomorrow morning starts off nice, but we will see cloudiness during the day for Monday. That's the day before the first day of spring, by the way. Highs in the mid-40s inland, the 30s near the lake tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the day before?
Yeah, spring comes in at 11:15 Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning.
Right. Okay. Yep. O'Hare and Midway both have 37. Chicago's Lakefront, 39.
Do we know the forecast for Election Day yet?
Let's see here. Partly sunny,
yep.
Windy, chilly for Election Day, highs in the mid-30s.
Okay.
So not a bad day.
I like to check my dead relatives all come to the polling places.
Vote early and often.
I like to let them know how to dress.
And our far-flung forecast takes us out east.
Oh, wait a second. Hold it. Wait a second.
You were looking for that helicopter.
Just slow down a second. Slow down. Okay. Go ahead.
We go out east to New England today, to Thetford, Vermont.
What is it again?
Or Thetford. Maybe they say Thetford.
Thetford.
Thetford,
yeah,
Vermont. T-E-H-T-F-O-R-D.
I got a wicked Thetford.
Thetford, Vermont.
Yeah.
Population 2,617. It goes back to 1761.
Wow.
A royal charter, which King George III of England issued in order for this town to be formed. It is on the eastern section of Vermont, and we bring it up today because it is the birthplace of a man named Henry Wells. Does this name mean anything to you?
Henry Wells.
Henry Wells.
It means absolutely nothing to me.
Well, let me continue. Henry Wells and a business partner by the name of William Fargo on this date in 1852 founded
the Pony Express.
Wells Fargo and Company. That's right. The other partner, business partners went in, but it was on this date 166 years ago that Henry Wells and William Fargo formed the Wells Fargo Company.
Wells Fargo Company.
Yep. And that's what spawned the song, the Wells Fargo Wagon, in The Music Man. You know that song, don't you?
Do I?
Do you?
I don't think so.
Boy, do we know
how to
cook?
I've heard it. I've seen Music Man 100 times.
Yeah.
How does it go?
Oh, the Wells Fargo Wagon is a coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Second verse.
So, you know what? It's a little chilly in Thetford this morning.
We have
sunny skies and 8 degrees Fahrenheit. It's only 8. It had an overnight low of 0, too, there.
Yeah, it's wicked cold, yeah.
It is wicked cold. I guess after all those nor'easter storms they had.
How about that, those nor'easters?
Terrible. They brought in all that cold air now, but it is sunny and 8 in Thetford.
Anybody complaining about our weather, think about that, what they've had on the eastern seaboard.
Unbelievable.
We've gotten off super easy this winter.
And what about the utility crews that were racing against time to try to do their best to restore everything before the next storm hit?
That's right. That's right.
Not they really had their work cut out for them.
I don't want to jinx us, and then we wind up getting one of those weird April blizzards or something.
I was gonna say, it's not May yet.
Right.
That's right.
Still, we're not out of the woods just yet. But
well,
so overall, I mean, we've had a pretty easy winter.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. One or two, it was very cold at the start of January, right. And then we had the one storm a month ago. But other than that, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. But since we were talking about Thetford, you can get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own.
What did you drink today?
Arnold
Coffee.
Palmer.
Coffee.
John Daly.
720 WGN.
Schwann's all wound up today.
Yes, he is.
You notice that?
It's almost spring. I'm always like this.
You have spring fever?
Always.
What?
Yes.
Excuse me?
I do. I have a fever.
Yes, yes, I do.
Storekeeper.
Oh, okay.
So who else is on the show today?
I have no idea. I could care less. Coming up in a second, actually on the show today, we have Rain Wilson, if he hasn't been listening already and has decided not to come on the show now. Rain Wilson, who played Dwight Schrute on The Office for so many years. Also, Bryan Adams from Pretty Woman the Musical, Grammy Award-winning rocker. He's going to be part of the show coming up a little bit later on. And also, I wanted to pay a little bit of attention to the elections that are coming up on Tuesday. How do you cast your votes? I have to say, I ran into all kinds of politicians yesterday at the St. Patrick's Day parade. They were all over the place. And it just really got me thinking that I have not 100% made my decisions yet of who I am going to vote for. And then, you know, you get to the judicial ballot, where you really get lost, because, you know, for the most part, people have absolutely no idea who they are. And they look for a name that seems familiar, maybe an ethnicity that they can relate to. That's how people vote for these things. But there's a fantastic listing that has been put together of various bar associations around the Chicago area and the recommendations that they make.
And you can also take that into the ballot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into the polling place.
Yeah, you can absolutely take it right in with you. And then you can, you know, you can see, you know, if you think that you that your thinking is aligned with, you know, such and such a bar association, a legal organization, you can see what kind of recommendations they make and who they recommend. It's better than going in there and going, oh, yeah, there's I like that name. I'll just put that name. And you have no idea who the person is. Let me tell you all about that when we come back from the break. 720 WGN. So it's going to be a pretty interesting day today in the news. As, you know, the Sunday morning talking head shows are focusing in on the Mueller investigation into President Trump and the Russian investigation that is going on. In fact, something interesting actually just came up on this yesterday. If you weren't paying very close attention to the news, the president's personal attorney called for special counsel Robert Mueller to end the investigation into whether Russia meddled in our 2016 presidential election. And today, South Carolina Republican Trey Gowdy said that he thinks that the president's attorney has done a disservice to the president when he is calling for the investigation to end. His quote on Fox News earlier this morning: if you have an innocent client, Mr. Dowd, then act like it. So I'm sure there's going to be more conversation about this coming up later on in the day, and I'm sure we'll be covering it more in our newscast. We're also looking ahead at the primary election here in the state of Illinois that will take place. And, you know, you're seeing all the television commercials and those negative ads. I mean, I guess, you know, they say that these negative ads are effective and, you know, that people, you know, buy the concepts that they're hearing. But I say this every election, every single election. I wish that the candidates would just come on and say, this is what I believe. This is what I think should be done. Instead of slamming their opponents and, you know, casting mud. I think that's why people get a little bit disgusted with the election and stay home. And I think the politicians know that. And, you know, they hope for low voter turnout so they can more easily manipulate, you know, getting into office with the whole thing. So, you know, you'll all make your choices with that, hopefully. And, you know, I just hope everybody goes and, you know, takes a little bit of time to go and vote. To me, it's also very disgusting that here in America, we have such an incredibly low voter turnout. That's a shame that we have the right to vote, and yet the vast majority of people don't even bother, couldn't care less.
That's one of the reasons why they've gone out of their way to start early voting.
Yeah.
In order to get people to vote.
To make it easier for people to vote, yet people still don't vote. People still couldn't care less. And, you know, you say you get what you put into it. If you put nothing into it, you'll get nothing out of it. You know, and who knows what you're going to get as a result of all of that. But it affects everybody. It really does affect everybody. So I don't know what more can be said to get people to vote. One of the things that I have found super helpful the past, I don't know how many elections, but I use this all the time. It's an endorsement list. And normally I couldn't care less about, you know, which newspaper is endorsing this one or that one, or, you know, on the commercials that you see endorsed by so-and-so, endorsed by so-and-so. You get an idea. You know, which groups are putting money into which candidates. But what I love about this particular set of recommendations, and this is just for the judicial offices, which I think is just as important as governor, attorney general, you know, the major offices that are getting the most attention right now. Usually you go into the polling place and you have this incredibly long list of judicial candidates. You have absolutely no idea who these people are. You know, maybe you've seen their street signs out in, you know, in front of the polling place, or, you know, maybe somebody has come to knock on your door, but you really still don't know how that person would vote, you know, for certain hearings, or whether or not they're responsible, or whether or not they show up. This is a list that's put out by the Alliance of Bar Associations for Judicial Screening. So it's a listing of many, many different bar associations. In other words, lawyers who practice in front of judges, or they have a better working knowledge of who these people are who are wanting to be a judge in our area. And they include the Illinois State Bar Association. They include the Chicago Council of Lawyers, the Cook County Bar Association, but also the Asian American Bar Association of Greater Chicago, the Black Women's Lawyers Association of Greater Chicago, the Hellenic Bar Association of Chicago, Hispanic Lawyers, Puerto Rican Bar Association, Women's Bar Association, Lesbian and Gay Bar Association, lots of different organizations. And they rate all of the candidates, the, you know, people who are going to be on your judicial ballots, with either highly qualified, well qualified, qualified, or not qualified. So you can, let's say that you say I'm going to go with what the Illinois State Bar Association says. You look under their column on this and see which recommendations that they make. Or, you know, you see, here's the Puerto Rican Bar Association. You know, I can relate to what the lawyers in this bar association might think. So you look under their column, see what kind of recommendations that they make. Or you can just, you know, go down the list here and you begin to see patterns with what all the bar associations are, you know, who they call qualified, not qualified, highly qualified, not recommended, etc. I think it's a very, very helpful guideline. And as Shwani had mentioned, you can take this full list with you into the polling place, right into where you're casting your vote, and, you know, match up whatever choices you feel coincide with your beliefs, and make the appropriate votes instead of just going in there and going, oh, here's a name that I recognize. Here's a name. I think I've seen this before. Oh, they came to my house and shook my hand. I'm going to vote for them, even though I have no idea what they represent and, you know, what they stand for. Let me give you the website for this, because it's super easy to remember this. And you know what I've done, because this is online, I bring it up on my phone. It's voteforjudges.org. Couldn't be any simpler than that. Voteforjudges.org. All I do is, scroll down my phone. It coincides with what's on my ballot. I do my punching and feel like I've made some responsible decisions. Voteforjudges.org is what it's called. Quick break and we'll update news. And we've got Mike Hammernick, meteorologist, coming up to join us with an update on today's weather. Here is Dave Schwann.
It's sunny and 42 at O'Hare. A traffic accident involved a police car yesterday. WGN's Roger Battish has the story.
Two Chicago police officers were in that squad car when a minivan slammed into it. Police car traveling north on Stewart when it was hit by the other car that was going east on 63rd. All three were treated for minor injuries, and the driver of the minivan was cited for failing to stop at a red light and for driving without a license or insurance. Roger Battish, WGN News.
Nine people were injured, one seriously, after a police chase in Chicago's Lawndale neighborhood. It happened around 7 last night when police responded to a call of shots fired in the 1800 block of South Springfield. Police tried to stop a car when they arrived, but it sped away, ran a stop sign, and then crashed into three other vehicles. Charges are pending. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny says he's boycotted the presidential election and says other Russians should do the same. He's been barred from the presidential campaign because of a criminal conviction, widely seen as politically motivated. Vladimir Putin is ready to seek a fourth term. He has a 60-point lead in today's election, ahead of 8 other candidates. A Syrian Kurdish official says the war with Turkey has now entered a new phase of guerrilla warfare, this after Turkish troops and Allied forces entered the Syrian town of Afrin. Teams of lawyers are being dispatched across Illinois to ensure voters' rights are protected and polling places are easily accessible for Tuesday's primary. Attorney General Lisa Madigan says 178 teams of assistant attorneys general will be monitoring the election. Anybody encountering illegal or suspected improper activity can call her office. And a shipwreck has been recovered in Lake Erie. More from ABC's Dave Schreiber.
Dive teams in Cleveland have found a 119-year-old shipwreck in Lake Erie, the Margaret Olwill. A steam barge carrying 900 tons of limestone went down in 1899 with 8 crew members on board. The discovery was announced this week by the National Museum of the Great Lakes. John McCarty with the museum says there are about 8,000 sunken ships in the Great Lakes, but they're not easy to find.
Realistically, most of them are lost to the lakes.
He adds,
uncovering something that's 200 years old is important.
Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
Didn't somebody do a documentary on all the shipwrecks that are in the Great Lakes?
Oh, there have been a number of documentaries. Yeah. Oh, there are some just east of where we sit in Lake Michigan and a little bit north. Of course, the most famous being the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Yeah. But there's a Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Right.
That's on my list the next time I'm up there.
Well, you know, the legend lives on from the Chippewa on down.
Into the lake they call Gitche Gumee.
That's all I remember.
The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead.
Well, look at Andy. Get Andy with the light rock.
Quick, who sang it?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Right. Yes. Sports traffic.
I always thought it was really funny when I would play that song when I was a DJ, and I would say that it was the wreck of the
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ella Fitzgerald.
That was very common because we did it in good old Muncie, Indiana, too.
I am so clever. I'm so funny.
Oh, yes, indeed. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Two late baskets equals 2 wins in the NCAA tournament for Loyola. Yesterday, it was Clayton Custer getting the friendly bounce. His jumper with 3.3 seconds left gives the Ramblers a 63-62 win over Tennessee. Coach Porter Moser's crew is subscribing to the Hero a Game program.
It's amazing what you can do when you get a group of people believing and that are really tight. I said that since day one, and I've said it for years now. The guys, we have a close-knit culture, and the guys in the locker room pull for each other. They share the ball, and it's just amazing. They really, We really believe.
And Loyola into the Sweet 16 for the first time in 33 years. I'll head to Atlanta to face the winner of today's game between Nevada and Cincinnati. And by the way, just how popular are the Ramblers? Sister Jean gets the team chaplain gets a shout-out from President Obama. And Dante Ingram today, the hero of the first win, got a shout-out on Twitter from Chance the Rapper saying, "Go crazy, Shorty, hashtag Ramblers."
Go crazy, Shorty.
How'd you like that?
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's impressive. Cool everyone's getting into it.
I agree. And, you know, I mentioned to you, too, that there was another buzzer beater yesterday as Michigan gets by Houston in the last seconds.
3.6 to go. Michigan down two. Livers gets the basketball. Looking. Throws it into Rockmont at midcourt. 2 seconds. Rockmont off the pull. Three for the win. He got it. Jordan Poole, the freshman, hits it at the buzzer. And Michigan is off to the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
that's how you call a game.
Exactly.
Right.
That's how you do
that
it.
That is how you call a game, right?
That was
there.
Also a national call courtesy of Westwood One. So, yeah, he didn't have reservations for dinner that night.
the other guy just wanted to get out of there.
Maybe wanted to get out. You know.
Let's have that guy for the next game, when they're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, see if I can call my friends at Westwood One and see if we can get that worked out.
So they're going to play, the Ramblers will play...
either Nevada or Cincinnati. It'll be Thursday.
That game is today, Nevada or Cincinnati.
Correct. It'll be about 5 o'clock today.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did I remember hearing this correctly, that...
Cincinnati
was who Loyola faced...
in the championship in 63.
1963. Wow. Wouldn't that be crazy?
And beat them.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be a story, I'll tell you that. And don't tell me that the people that put together the brackets in NCAA headquarters don't look ahead to things like this. Because they do.
It's cool.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
That's cool. That's my sports analysis.
Yeah. Well, good. It was right on, too,
it's cool.
By the way.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, man.
Kentucky beat Buffalo yesterday, 95-75. Woo! Kansas, a winner. So is Gonzaga, Villanova, Texas Tech, and Duke all on to the Sweet 16. It was not a Sweet 16 or a Sweet anything for the Bulls yesterday. They lose to Cleveland 114-109. LeBron James, a triple-double in the game. 15th of the season, 33 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists. Blackhawks lose at Buffalo 5-3, but they're back on the ice tonight at home against St. Louis. Chris Bowden has your pregame at 6, and they'll face off with John and Troy coming up 6:30 here on WGN and WGNradio.com. And some good news from South Korea is the U.S. sled hockey team taking the gold medal with 2-1 overtime win against Canada at the Paralympic Games. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and now Chicago White Sox baseball, I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic a little slow on the inbound Kennedy due to an accident blocking the right lane just before Chicago Avenue. That's once again on the inbound Kennedy. Stop and go traffic because of an accident near Chicago Avenue in the right lane. Other than that, we look good on our expressways and tollways downtown. CTA rerouting numbers 126 and 151 buses on Upper Wacker between Jackson and Adams, which is closed until noon because of a helicopter lift. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, sunny today, high in the mid-50s, a little cooler near the lake. Fair tonight, low in the upper 20s in the middle 30s downtown. For tomorrow, we start out with some sun and then increasing clouds, high in the 40s inland, 30s near the lake. We have 42 now at both O'Hare and Midway, 39 along Chicago's lakefront. And I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We be standing for Hail Loyola?
Probably should.
I'm ready to march around the newsroom here.
Our producer of the Sunday morning show, one Mr. Tom Hush, is a Loyola alum. Super excited about it all, as we all are. We're all I think it's exciting to have a little something like this going on.
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time, Andy, that we've had some Chicago participation this far along?
Illinois, obviously in 2005. They were the runners-up nationally. Bradley made a run at the Sweet 16 in 06, I want to say.
It's been a while for DePaul now.
Yeah, it's been a while for DePaul. I'm trying to think.
Remember that with the heyday? I remember that so clearly.
Oh, yeah.
It's Coach Ray Meyer back in the day.
What is that, 83 maybe?
Something like
81,
that.
81, 82?
Well, 79 they were in the Final Four. And they lost.
Okay, that's what it was.
They lost to Larry Bird and Indiana State.
Tom, is this taking you back to your college days now, just hearing that song?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
You were a male cheerleader for them.
Yeah, I mean, they had a onesie specially made for me. It was a little bit a little bit tight in the waist, but you know, it worked.
And that's why I quit doing play-by-play for them, because I saw Tom in the onesie.
That would do it.
Yeah.
I can understand. So you must be, like, super excited about all this, being an alum, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was at Loyola, I went for 2 years to the Arch Madness tournament, and that was really great. And, you know, we always came up a little bit short, but it was great to be a Rambler fan. And now this, I seriously cannot believe this is happening. It's really a dream come true.
That's pretty cool. And Tom was telling me during the break that they have celebrities that show up for explain what this is, because Nick Jonas, at one time one of the Jonas Brothers, but now pop singer all on his own, and comedian Hannibal Buress were invited to perform. Was it yesterday, right?
Yeah, so every year Loyola does a event called Colossus, which is just kind of like a lot of campuses do it, where they invite a music guest, a comedy guest, what have you, to come on and perform for all the students. It's really cheap for the students, gives them a chance to see some of these big names that they might not get to see anywhere else. But there's a little bit of a controversy with Hannibal. He decided to say a few things that Loyola did not want him to say. Anytime a performer comes to Loyola, they have to get this sort of rider that tells them what they can and can't perform. Usually for the musicians, they have to perform
the language has to be appropriate.
Right. They have to do the radio edit of their songs.
Yeah, the content has to be appropriate for a student body. And
precisely.
Especially for a school like Loyola.
Yeah, Catholic institution. Loyola's, they're open to a lot of things, but they like to keep things a certain way. And Hannibal didn't really like that. So he displayed on a big screen right behind him in Loyola's Gentile Arena the exact email that they sent him, and then
with the writer.
Yeah,
with the writer explaining what he couldn't talk about.
Right. And he decided to make a very coarse joke about priests and children.
Child molestation. Yeah, essentially. Jokes, yeah.
And they cut his mic. And took him off for about 15 minutes. I'm guessing they had words with him behind the stage, and then they let him go back on after a while and clean up his act a little bit. But Hannibal Buress, he's a very opinionated guy. I'm sure you all remember when he made his comments about Bill Cosby during that. So it's not surprising, but it is it's interesting.
It's completely inappropriate.
True.
I think you get invited to a school to participate in this historic moment in the school's time, and again, you're invited to a Catholic university, a family event, at which there are you're not in a nightclub where it's just adults, and people who know Hannibal Buress's comedy knows that he works pretty blue. He works R-rated and beyond. You're not in a nightclub. You're at a sporting event for a Catholic university and a family event. And to bring something up like that, after you've agreed not to, you've had this rider, and presumably he signed it and agreed that he wouldn't, to purposely break this, I think is so unbelievably disrespectful, it's not even funny. I'm surprised they let him back on stage, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, even the likes of last year, or at least in years previous, they had John Mulaney. And he's a guy, he'll get a little bit racy, he'll get a little bit off color, but I know he said during his set, he's like, I'm not going to do certain jokes. And he's Chicago, he's Catholic, and I'm sure he knows quite a few Catholic jokes that he could have made, but he decided not to. And all respect to Hannibal Buress, he's got his opinions and he's got his comedy, but probably not the venue to be doing it at a Catholic institution.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder sometimes. I've interviewed Hannibal Buress a couple of times. We've had him on our TV morning show, and you know, I can't really say, you know, I know him, I know his personality, anything, but I wonder if some of these people just do something like this because now this is a headline story that Hannibal Buress's mic got cut, that he was kicked off stage for 15 minutes. After this, I wonder if they do. Some people do this intentionally, just to, you know, to get the headline like that. Ooh, look how edgy I am. I go right into a Catholic university, and I say, I mean, if you read some of the actual things that he said, it's we are really softening it down the way that we're explaining it to you this morning, because he said some extremely explicit things about priests and about kids. I'm sure he feels like, you know, puts him on a level of, you know, a different kind of comedian other than a Hannibal Buress, for which a lot of people would go, who?
Yeah.
You know, they don't know who, if he's just trying to do it for attention. I think completely disrespectful. All the respect in the world for, you know, freedom of speech and, you know, not trying to censor a comedian. When you sign an agreement saying that you are going to abide by certain rules because you're at a family event, a Catholic university, then you should live by the what you said you were going to do.
Yeah, it's just know your audience.
Know your audience. Exactly right. Too bad. Too bad that has to be part of the whole deal here. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to Mike Hamernick. Have we had Mike Hamernick signed our rider that we have? We have to so severely limit Hamernick's language and everything.
Controversial guy.
When he comes on here, the way he wants to describe cumulonimbus clouds to you would curl your hair, is all I got to say. This is going to be the best day of my life. My life. 1023, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. WGN. Meteorologist Mike Hamernick, thank you for some sunshine yesterday when we were in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Made all the difference in the world to us.
Oh, I'll bet that sun probably felt good after a cloudy start to the day, and the wind off the lake certainly did help keep you warm out there. And we're doing the same thing again today. Sunshine out there, and it's helping warm things up after a cold start. We started out this morning in the 20s, but we're in the 40s now, headed for the 50s later on this afternoon. And, you know, Dean, this is going to end up being the warmest March day so far to date. The previous warmest day in March was 50 degrees a couple of days ago on the 15th. Today we're shooting for 56 for the high.
So, wow, that's nice.
Yeah, 56. Even along the lakefront, any lake cooling is going to be minimal today, about 48 along the immediate lakeshore, but that lake breeze won't make it very far inland. So even along the lakefront, a bargain today weather-wise. And, you know, we're kind of spinning our wheels. Spring, people are getting anxious, want spring to start and really get kicked into gear, but we're kind of stuck in neutral. We don't seem to be going anywhere, and the numbers bear that out. You know, in February, we had 3 60-degree days. So far in March, zero. We haven't had one. I don't think we'll do it quite today, but, you know, mid-50s are okay. And don't really see anything real warm in our future, too, our near future, next week or week and a half. Nothing as far as, like, 60s or 70s are concerned, because we can't get that warm at this time of the year. But also
nothing super cold, though, either, right?
No, nothing real cold. This morning was pretty cold, those 20s. But at this time of the year, with those cool morning lows, they don't last long, especially if you have sunshine. We'll be in the 40s for much of this upcoming week, lower 40s for the most part. So we're going to take a hit temperature wise. We'll cool off as the week wears on. Spring starts on Tuesday, as I don't know if you're aware of that, but Tuesday's looking kind of chilly. It's also election day, a high of 42 on Tuesday, and there may be a few flurries around on Wednesday. But so cool but dry, that's really the theme for most of this upcoming week, Dean.
That's not too terrible. I was going to ask about the S word anywhere. In here.
Well, it does get interesting starting on Friday, and then for the rest of March, looks like the weather action is going to start to pick up. The quiet week until about Friday, and we've got the first of what looks like three or four storms for the rest of March that we'll be dealing with here in Chicago. And first one Friday or Saturday, and then the second one a week from Monday or Tuesday. And yeah, it looks like we're going to be straddling the rain-snow line here in Chicago with the storm system. So we'll have to keep an eye on it. We're not out of the woods yet as far as the snow is concerned. In fact, we're getting some big numbers for Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Really?
But, yeah.
Which parts?
Mainly central and northern, but some of it could sneak into the southern portion. We're talking double digits perhaps for the rest of March, snowfall-wise, up in that direction if this stormy weather pattern does evolve, and it looks like it will. So snow north, and we're going to be right in the middle of it, and perhaps severe weather downstate for that last week of March, which really isn't all that unusual. But might be stuck in the middle of the two, and maybe some rain-snow mix with these storms that are coming up starting Friday and then through the last week of March.
So the first day of spring on Tuesday,
yeah,
it'll just start shifting the amount of daylight. I mean, that was, you know, part of the time change, right?
Yeah, it's the spring equinox, so it's in theory it's equal amounts of day and night. The sun starts getting the better angle of the sun as it's a spring equinox, positive angle as far as the sun is concerned. So we start to get more warmth from the sun until about June 21st, and then things begin to reverse again as far as the sun angle is concerned. But it's all about sun angle as far as warming, and we're crossing that threshold on Tuesday, and eventually, you know, it's going to warm things up here. Not happening in the short term. Looking way out, you know, we get these climate models, and they give us some interesting information every once in a while. It looks like, you know, after about the 5th of April, that's when we might see a temperature turnaround, maybe to a normal to above normal temperature pattern. But for the next couple of weeks, it looks like a normal to below normal temperature pattern for us here in Chicago. But that would be, when the baseball starts, Cubs and White Sox home opener. So maybe we'll warm it up just in time for baseball here in Chicago.
Yeah, well, we all know that home opener days are traditionally the coldest day of the year.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Anywhere. Boy. Or it may just be the amount of cold beer people are drinking while they're out there that makes it seem that way. Not that I've ever done that myself many years in a row.
Not you, Dean.
A nice forecast.
I am
perfectly happy with the way we've had it without the snow and super cold.
Yeah, you won't need the shovel or raincoat really until Friday. So we're just going to be dry and quiet. The next storm passes to our south. So we're in good shape as far as that is concerned. Should be good commutes for most of this week.
All right. We'll enjoy it. Meteorologist Mike Hamernick, thank you, sir.
You bet.
It is 10:28. We'll get a quick news update. Then in our Week in Theater segment, after the 10:30 news, actor Rainn Wilson joins us. Dwight Schrute from The Office coming up. And Shwani, Andy, I will be explaining to you both why I had a monkey on my head the other day.
I would like to hear this.
Pardon me?
I saw the picture.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That was good.
Shwani, what'd you say?
I said I would like to hear your explanation.
The monkey story?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
We'll get to that coming up after a check of WGN News sponsored by It's Just Lunch. Here's Dave Schwan.
And on this Sunday before Tuesday's Election Day, Illinois gubernatorial candidates are making their final push toward this election. It's become an increasingly expensive contest. J.B. Pritzker filed paperwork showing he gave his campaign an additional $6.3 million. That brings his total investment to over $70 million. Russia's Central Election Commission says turnout in the presidential election has exceeded 50%. The commission says 51.9% of Russia's nearly 111 million eligible voters cast ballots as of 5 p.m. Moscow time. President Putin is seeking a fourth term. Going into today's election, he had a 60-point lead. No word if charges will be filed after a car was pushed through the wall of a restaurant in Northlake yesterday. It happened at Mannheim Road and Major Drive. The driver of a pickup truck told police he hit a pothole and lost control. The truck veered into the parking lot of Victoria Restaurant. It hit a parked car and pushed it through the wall. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
With their glass slipper still fitting very nicely, the Loyola Ramblers continue to Cinderella ride through the NCAA tournament with a win over Tennessee yesterday, 63-62. This time it was Clayton Custer playing hero. A friendly bounce on a jumper with just over 3 seconds left to seal the win, and a trip to the Sweet 16 in Atlanta Thursday. The Ramblers will face the winner of tonight's game between Nevada and Cincinnati. Elsewhere in the tournament, the Ramblers didn't have the only last-second shot for a win. Freshman Jordan Poole's three at the horn gave Michigan a 64-63 win over Houston. Kentucky, Kansas, Gonzaga, Villanova, Texas Tech, and Duke all punched a ticket to the Sweet 16 yesterday. LeBron James and the Cavaliers come to Chicago and beat the Bulls yesterday 114-109. Bulls in New York tomorrow to take on the Knicks. A couple of third-period goals for the Sabres, spelling doom for the Blackhawks, who lose at Buffalo 5-3. Back at it tonight on the home ice. It'll be St. Louis in town. Chris Bowden's pregame at 6. Face-off with John and Troy at 6:30 here on WGN and WGNRadio.com. White Sox will be in action today in Mesa against the A's. Cubs again will split their squad today against Kansas City and against Cleveland. And the U.S. sled hockey team takes the gold medal with a 2-1 overtime win against Canada in the Paralympic Games in South Korea. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and now Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
Woo!
I was waiting for the woo.
Go Ramblers. Woo!
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
You sound like my mom.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo, boys.
It is now time for WGN traffic. All in all, looking good on our expressways. Still a little slow on the Kennedy because of the earlier accident that blocked the right lane inbound near Chicago Avenue. And as a result, it's now about a half hour from O'Hare to downtown, 20 minutes from the junction to downtown. And speaking of downtown, because of a helicopter lift, Wecker Drive between Jackson and Adams will be closed until noon. The CTA is rerouting numbers 126 and 151 buses. And Dean, I would like to direct your attention 1.2 miles southwest of Wacker and Adams to Desplaines and Roosevelt Road,
yep,
where Desplaines between Roosevelt and Harrison is closed for the Maxwell Street Market until 3 o'clock this afternoon.
What?
You know, this seemingly happens all the time.
Yeah, it's like almost every Sunday, isn't it?
I can't believe it. It's like clockwork.
We actually have requests for this particular street closure every week now.
Well, I'm certain.
When 20 doesn't do it,
people start to wonder.
People start to text in wondering what's going on at Maxwell
Street. In fact, closed. Yeah. But yes, it is until 3 o'clock this afternoon. I repeat, Desplaines between Roosevelt and Harrison closed until 3. This is the reason we call this personalized traffic on demand.
Yep.
You can get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART, S-M-A-R-T, for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter.
That.
That's the cheering for Spot Hero and for Loyola.
Ooh, okay.
And Loyola. Ooh, I'm trying to get in the spirit of things.
Clayton Custer was the Spot Hero yesterday.
He sure was.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Sunny today, a high in the mid-50s, a little cooler near the lake. Fair tonight, low in the upper 20s inland to the mid-30s downtown. We start out with sunshine tomorrow, but then increasing clouds, highs in the 40s inland, the 30s near the lake. And by the way, spring begins at 11:15 a.m. Tuesday, March 20th.
Can't wait.
I can't either. We now have 42 at O'Hare and Midway and 40 at Chicago's lakefront.
I'm going to tell you why I had a monkey on my head the other day.
I'm waiting.
I'll tell you in about a half an hour.
Oh, you're not going to tell me now?
Well, I forgot we have a...
You've got Rain Wilson.
We've got a guest there right now. I don't want to keep him waiting just to hear it. Stupid story about a monkey on my head.
I must do the official close here.
I know. It's not. Ronnie could lose his license if he doesn't.
Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So for 9 seasons, he played Dwight Schrute on the very popular comedy The Office. Rainn Wilson has appeared in several movies along the way, and you've seen him on other projects on television as well. And now he's making his Steppenwolf debut. Rainn Wilson returns home to the Chicago area and joins us on the phone line right now. Rainn, welcome to WGN. Good to have you with us here, my friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really well. But I want to hear the story about the monkey on the head.
I want to talk about you though. We were at a St. Patrick's Day party on the WGN TV morning news. Mm-hmm. Where Rain has been on our TV morning news several times.
But we had a
big St. Patrick's Day, and we had like a little petting zoo, and they thought it would be funny. You know, when you got a bald guy on the show, it's always funny to accentuate that in any way possible.
Sure.
So they thought it would be
fun of the bald guy.
Yeah, they had a little monkey who was very affectionate, and he sat on my head while I did my entertainment report. See, it really wasn't worth waiting for the story, was it?
That's great. Did you post that on the social media?
It is on the social media. Yes, it is, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what social media is made for right there.
If you don't a monkey have... on a bald guy's head.
It's a hashtag monkey on a bald guy's head, to be exact.
Yeah.
Rain, how are you doing there, my friend?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, but I'm undertaking one of the hardest jobs I've ever done in my life.
Really? Not appearing on stage. You've appeared on stage before, but is it this particular production that you're in, the Doppelganger?
Yeah, the Doppelganger at Steppenwolf Theater. It's really demanding show. I mean, it's a ton of lines. There's sword fights. There's pratfalls and gags and physical comedy nonstop, and it's a lot easier doing television. Let me just put it that way.
Where you can start and stop and start and stop. See, that would drive.
Yeah, and you sit in your trailer half the day, and they've got like, you know, a food buffet.
Right.
And, you know, they bring you lattes and stuff like that. This is hard work. Yeah. The theater. I forgot how hard it was.
Yeah. All Rain has to do when he was on The Office, he would pick up the phone and go, "I would like a monkey to sit on my head right
exactly.
now."
Exactly.
And they would have one for you in your trailer in no time at all.
They'd be like, "Get Wilson a monkey."
I'm actually a little surprised that you had never appeared at the Steppenwolf before because of your Chicago roots. I figured at some point you must have done something there.
Well, you know, I went to high school at New Trier High School. And after that, I moved around. I went to school in Boston and then Seattle and then ended up studying acting in New York City. And then I did mostly theater in New York and then tours and around. So I didn't get to come back to Chicago and do theater. So it's always something that I've wanted to do, and I always had it in the back of my mind. And, of course, you know, I saw some early Steppenwolf productions that were just incredible. And I wanted to, and I've been, you know, really wanting to work at this incredibly famous, storied theater. And then I got this opportunity. I'm really excited.
Yeah. What is it about Steppenwolf that that actors want to perform there? I can't tell you the number of very successful television and movie actors, many Emmy and Academy Award winners, who they want to come to Chicago and they want to work at Steppenwolf.
Yeah, you know, it has a legacy. It has a history of you know, great act of being actor focused. It's about the actors and the acting on the stage. They also have a great history of launching new plays and new contemporary playwrights. And somehow or other, as an institution, they have managed to keep the work, you know, really cutting edge and exciting for, you know, I don't know, 20, 25 years.
It's always been an adventure. I mean, as long as I've been a critic, and really even before I was a critic, when Steppenwolf was launching something new, you wanted to go because you just did not know how your mind was going to be blown, you know, with whatever it was that they were putting on, especially in the early days. When they were, you know, back in the Malkovich, Gary Sinise days, and, you know, when they were doing the most adventurous theater that there could possibly be.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do. They are adventurous. They take risks. And I think that's part of it. This play is a very strange hybrid, and it's a really risky play. I think it's going to be fantastic, but we're definitely rolling the dice on this because it's a... it's a farce. It's a straight-up farce, you know, mistaken identities, people hooking up, going in and out of doors, exactly the wrong person showing up at exactly the wrong time, you know, all of the elements of farce, really high-pressure comedy, physical comedy. but at the same time, it's tackling some big political issues. So it's a kind of an international political farce. I've never seen those two things put together before.
And directed by Steppenwolf Ensemble member Tina Landau, who, I mean, just to show her versatility, that she's directing this, as you describe it, but also directed and conceived SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical.
That's right.
That's one of the hits on Broadway right now.
Yeah, it's a big hit. Got rave reviews. I had been seeing her work for years. In fact, even before she was a Steppenwolf Ensemble member, I saw some stuff she did in New York City, experimental stuff. And she's an incredible director. And was really excited to the combination of this play and Steppenwolf and this director was what got me really excited.
Is it fair to say that when you work on a project like this? At Steppenwolf, this kind of material, probably the fellow actors that you're working with, kind of recharges you creatively a little bit?
Yeah, it does. You know, I'm developing a TV piece right now to act in. So I knew I wasn't going to be doing television pilot season. And so I knew the spring was going to be pretty open. And that's exactly why I wanted to just dive right back into the theater, into my roots. I spent 10 years doing theater before I did any TV or film, and it's an actor's medium, and it is exactly that. It's a creative recharge of the batteries, kind of reminding me like what's important about this business: telling stories, being in an ensemble, connecting with an audience.
So even though you've done so many projects since The Office, is there a day that goes by where someone doesn't refer to an episode of The Office or, throws back a Dwight Schrute-ism at you in some way?
Well, it's funny. When we were shooting our first season, I remember Steve Carell saying, guys, we're going to do a lot of work in our life, but I bet you that this is the thing we're going to be best known for. And that was in 2005.
How about that?
And, and it's true, and it's great because playing Dwight has opened so many doors for me. But it's definitely getting a lot of Dwight catcalls on the streets of Chicago as people recognize me. Dwight!
Is that good? Because I mean, some actors want to move on from the thing that they are best known for. Many embrace it, which I love. But some, I've talked to many actors, they get angry when you bring up the role for which they are best known.
No, I'm really grateful for the role, and I'm really proud of the show. It's so hard to get on a TV comedy that gets on the air, then stays on the air, but let alone to get on a TV comedy that is a great show, that will stand the test of time, that people love to come back to again and again. And I'm really honored to be a part of that. And I have moved on. I'm playing lots of different roles. Right. I do a couple movie roles every year.
Right.
People aren't watching the movies necessarily, but I'm having a great time playing a lot of different roles and showing my range as an actor.
There's been a fair amount of talk lately that there could be an Office reboot. The way Murphy Brown is coming back and Roseanne has come back and Will and Grace has come back. I've heard John Krasinski not say no when asked, could there be an Office reboot?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Ooh, I love the stammering.
The only thing I've heard about it is on the... is on the internet. It's probably an Office reboot, but I haven't gotten any phone calls and haven't heard from anybody. So I doubt it's happening, but if it was done right, I would definitely be up for something like that.
Would you be up for it? If they brought it back on a regular basis, like they are doing Will and Grace, or like a one time only?
I would say something in between. I wouldn't want to kind of be doing full time Office episodes. But at the same time, like if there was a season, kind of like what they do with Arrested Development, they do 10 or 13 episodes on Netflix or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be really fun.
Well, we would certainly love that, too, because this is one of these shows You can watch the reruns over and over and over again. You've heard the jokes a million times, and you still laugh out loud every time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a testament to you guys. All of the actors are so rich and so wonderful. But, man, the writing on that show was just so great.
It was. It really was. And a testament to the genius of Greg Daniels, who was our showrunner, who cast it and hired all those writers and kind of, you know, sent us down that road to making a great TV show.
More with Rainn Wilson after a quick break. He's in The Doppelganger, which begins in previews April the 5th, and then will open officially April 15th at the Steppenwolf. I'll tell you how you can get tickets for all of that when we come right back, talking with Rainn Wilson, who is starring in The Doppelganger, making his Steppenwolf debut. It opens in previews April the 5th, will officially open then on April the 15th, and you can get tickets at steppenwolf.org or by calling 312-335-1650. Rainn, you know, we're saying, you know, best known from The Office, and certainly that is the case. But on our text line right now, overwhelmingly people saying how much they loved you on 6 Feet Under and remembering the recurring role that you did. Was it Arthur? Was that the character's name that you did on 6 Feet Under?
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, that really launched my career. I was, you know, putzing around Los Angeles and doing little guest spots and little movie roles. And then I lucked into getting a great recurring role on HBO's terrific show, 6 Feet Under. I did 13 episodes. And that's really what got me a bunch of movie roles and got me on The Office and helped really launch my career.
Yeah, that show was so groundbreaking in so many ways. I mean, now with Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and all the online platforms, there's lots of envelope-pushing types of series. But 6 Feet Under really was one of the first ones like that. There was, you know, appointment viewing, and you couldn't wait to see because it was, you know, sort of this like a Steppenwolf of television.
Yeah, you know, that was right at the time when great television, the Renaissance, the golden age of television was starting. So The Wire, 6 Feet Under,
Sopranos, all those, right?
Sopranos, all Entourage, all started around the same time, and it was kind of a new way of looking at television, not as kind of like dumb, mindless entertainment, but as, you know, kind of epic, long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
And they did that masterfully on 6 Feet Under.
Talk a little bit about growing up here in the Chicago area. You grew up in the Wilmette area in the shadow of the Baha'i Temple there, right?
Yeah, so I was born and raised mostly in Seattle, and my parents moved to Wilmette, and I ended up going to New Trier High School. And my parents were members of the Baha'i faith, so they got jobs at the Baha'i National Center, which is actually in Evanston. And I actually worked as a security guard at the Baha'i Temple there the summer after my senior year, after I graduated from high school. There was a skinny, much skinnier version of me in a polyester security guard outfit and pimples, you know, walking around. But I'm really grateful for New Trier High School because obviously it's a very well known high school, and they're very fortunate that they've got enough money to do and have an incredible theater program, and that's where I got my start in acting.
So you are also going to be hosting the Steppenwolf gala coming up on May the 12th with young unknown comedian Chris Rock, who's also going to be
him. Never heard of him.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I know they got Chris Rock to MC the auction. I was like, why do you have me with Chris Rock? He's hosted the Oscars before. I don't know what I can offer here, but I'll do my best. It's all for a good cause.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. That's going to be a special night as well. It's May the 12th. I know you have to get to rehearsal, so
yes,
we're gonna let you run.
I've got to go work on my pratfalls and sword fights and exploding blood bags and physical comedy and
okay,
spit
not,
takes.
Yeah, now you're just showing off. Now you're just showing off.
it's a great way to make a living, let me tell you.
I can't wait to see it. I'm super excited. The Doppelganger, April 5th is when it begins in previews, officially opening April the 15th. Tickets at 312-335-1650 or steppenwolf.org. Rain, thank you for taking a couple of minutes to talk to us.
Hey, it was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you while you're here. Rain Wilson is at the Steppenwolf right now, and we'll take a quick break. News is up next with Dave Schwann.
Sunny and 47 at O'Hare. 9 people were injured, one of them seriously, following a police chase in the Lawndale neighborhood last night. This happening around 7 o'clock after police responded to a call of shots fired in the 1800 block of South Springfield. Police saw a car when they arrived. They tried to stop it, but it sped away, ran a stop sign, and crashed into 3 vehicles. Charges are pending. A stabbing aboard an inbound Metra train yesterday. More from WGN's Bob Kessler.
The victim was in the vestibule of an inbound Metra Milwaukee District North Line train around 10:30 a.m. when 5 men tried to rob him. He was stabbed with an unknown object, according to a Metra spokeswoman. She says his injuries were not life-threatening, but he was taken to Stroger Hospital. Police say it was a small puncture wound in the left armpit area. The stabbing happened after the train left the Western Avenue station and was nearing its final stop at Union Station. Bob Kessler, WGN News.
The turnout in Russia's presidential election has now exceeded 50%. The Central Election Commission says 51.9% of Russia's eligible voters, nearly 111 million of them, cast ballots as of 5 p.m. Russian President Vladimir Putin is seeking a fourth term. He had a 60-point lead going into today's election against 8 other candidates. A Syrian Kurdish official says the war with Turkey is now in a new phase of guerrilla warfare after Turkish troops and allied forces entered the Syrian town of Afrin. Turkey announced today it's entered the town nearly 2 months after it began its offensive in the same district. A drive-by shooting killed one person and injured another near 49th and Ashland last night. Police say it happened around 10:30 when someone pulled alongside 2 people in a Chevy Equinox and began firing. The passenger in the Equinox was killed. The driver made it to Englewood's police station. They are now in stable condition. And a missing Pennsylvania teenager who has been found in Mexico is on her way home today. Amy Yu was found in the beach resort of Playa del Carmen with 45-year-old friend of the family, Kevin Easterly, who is now in police custody. More from ABC's Ariel Reshef.
16-year-old Amy Yu and 45-year-old Kevin Easterly located Saturday morning in Playa del Carmen. Authorities confirming Amy is unharmed and in good health. Easterly led away in handcuffs, now awaiting formal extradition to face charges. His wife, Stacy, speaking through her attorney, telling ABC News she saw red flags months before the pair vanished.
They fought daily about Amy.
Stacy's lawyer claiming his client repeatedly confronted her husband and tried to warn the girl's family.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Destination Atlanta. That's where the Loyola basketball team is headed next. The Ramblers earning a berth in the Sweet 16 with a last-second win over Tennessee yesterday, 63-62 the final. This time it was a Clayton Custer jump shot that got a friendly bounce with just 3.3 seconds left to go in the game. Head coach Porter Moser discussed the team's mentality as they now head to the next round.
I think one of the things we talk about, we've been doing it now for about a month or two, is that we knew we were having to win and win the conference and then get to the conference tournament, and it's been this mentality of you win, enjoy the moment.
And Loyola certainly doing that, headed to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 33 years. Ramblers will be facing the winner of today's game between Nevada and Cincinnati. That game set to get underway around 5 o'clock tonight. Coming up shortly in the Midwest region will be number 2 seed Purdue against number 10 Butler. Isaac Haas, the center for Purdue, now expected to be a game-time decision whether or not he will play for the Boilermakers. He was injured in their first-round victory over Cal State Fullerton. Later on tonight, number 3 Michigan State and number 11 Syracuse. Second seed North Carolina taking on 7th seed Texas A&M. 4th seed Auburn against number 5 Clemson. Kansas State will take on Cinderella number 16 UMBC. Top seed Xavier going up against Florida State. And finally, Marshall will face West Virginia. Blackhawks try to rebound from another third period collapse yesterday. They host the Blues tonight at the United Center. Chris Bowden has your pregame at 6. The faceoff with John and Troy at 6:30 here on WGN and WGNradio.com. Bulls back at it tomorrow in New York against the Knicks. Sox and Mesa today to take on the A's. Cubs will split their squad up today and face Kansas City and Cleveland. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and now Chicago White Sox baseball. I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
Are we going to get an Andy Mazur prediction of what will be next for the Loyola Ramblers?
Yeah, you know, I think if the Cincinnati Bearcats hold serve, they're the number two seed, and they would face Loyola in the Sweet 16 round. That's a whole lot to deal with. Cincinnati, a very good defensive team as well. So this could actually end up being a pretty low-scoring game, but I think the Ramblers are okay with that. And they've got a little momentum going, too. So I think it sounds like I'm going to pick them, but you know how my predictions are worth.
Right. Whatever Andy says usually just go opposite.
So I'm going to say Cincinnati in a romp. Okay. And see if it works the other way around. No, it should be pretty entertaining because I really think this Ramblers team experienced. They got a lot of senior leadership on this team, and they can play any type of style. I mean, we've seen they've played the grind-out games when they're only scoring in the 60s. I've seen them earlier in the year score in the high 80s and not really give up that many points. So they can kind of adapt to the team that they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, you've called some of these games this year, right?
Called a few of them this year during the regular season. So, right. And, you know, Porter Moser, we had him on a few weeks ago. One of the most likable human beings you'll be around. The guy moves 1,000 miles an hour with his hair on fire all the time. But he's really built this thing into I wouldn't say a powerhouse yet, but he's got it going in the right direction because the culture that he set up about 7 years ago when he came in is now starting to see the fruits of that labor.
Yes, and if he's listening right now, we have plenty of spots available on the show today.
We do, yes.
For him to come and chat with his old friend Andy Mazur.
Yeah, he's been tugged in about 17 different directions since about 7:30 yesterday night.
To that, I would only say get your priorities straight.
This is the 18th direction and the most important direction.
No, I know he's super busy, but okay. I mean, it's tremendously exciting. No matter what happens, it's tremendously exciting.
It's great for the city. It's great for basketball here in a great basketball hotbed. Chicago doesn't get a whole lot of attention, maybe as it should. You know, some public league kids on that team as well. So it bodes well for the city and for that program.
Absolutely. Yep. I've been looking for a bandwagon to jump on.
Jump
all right,
right on. There's plenty of room.
Yep. All right, Schwani. Is Schwani still there?
Yes.
He's here. He's
hello.
Here.
Good morning. WGN traffic.
Schwani listening to B96 for a few minutes.
WGN traffic. Heaviest traffic on the Kennedy, as it usually is at this time on Sunday. Inbound from O'Hare, a 30-minute ride from O'Hare to downtown. 25 minutes from the junction to downtown. Outbound, 15 minutes from the junction to O'Hare. We have an accident in Hanover Park. Watch for that at Barrington Road and West Irving Park Road. And Wacker Drive remains closed until noon, a little less than an hour now, between Jackson and Adams because of a helicopter lift. That is causing the CTA to reroute numbers 126 and 151 buses.
But we don't know what they're lifting.
Don't know what they're lifting. No, but it is a helicopter lift.
Okay.
And I'm trying to come up with what might be between Jackson and Adams on Wacker. I'm thinking what used to be called the Sears Tower.
Oh.
It is in that vicinity.
Oh, that's right.
There are some other tall buildings there also.
Hmm.
But this is why, Dean, we say this traffic is personalized on demand. And for personalized
because
traffic.
We don't really have very personalized details, you mean?
I demand it.
You can also call it Super Service. Get your Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The WGN forecast, a sunny day today, high in the mid-50s, a little cooler near the lake, fair overnight, a low in the upper 20s, inland to the mid-30s downtown. For tomorrow, increasing clouds in the afternoon, high in the 40s inland and a little cooler near the lake. We are up to 47 now at O'Hare and Midway, 40 at Chicago's lakefront. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey. 11:13, it's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Show of hands here in the studio and in the vast listening audience. Please raise your hand if you have had a monkey sit on your head. Apparently, I'm the only one.
Is that the wacky phrase that pays?
Yeah, man, I got a monkey sitting on my head. I'm a big 720.
I want to know why.
What?
There why was what? A monkey on your head.
Why wouldn't you have a monkey sit on your head if you have an opportunity to do that? We are out at 115 Bourbon Street Friday morning for our big WGN-TV morning show St. Patrick's Day party. We always have a big party out there, and people come out like crazy. We had so many people that came out to enjoy a beverage or two with us. And, as always, we try to deliver some unique entertainment on the WGN-TV morning news. And we had sort of a petting zoo, I guess you might say, at which there was a Shetland pony. Have you ever seen a Shetland pony up close?
I have not.
They're tiny. They're little tiny, tiny little ponies, and cute as anything. And, you know, the kids, people brought their whole families, and you can come and pet the Shetland pony. They had some tortoises that the kids could come and look at. There was a little baby kangaroo. That the proprietors of this petting zoo had all wrapped up sort of in a blanket to simulate a mother kangaroo's pouch. And this little baby kangaroo stayed right in the center of it, just barely poking its head out as, you know, like what it would do if it were in its mommy's pouch. And you could come and pet the kangaroo, which is also the phrase that pays today, man. Come and pet the kangaroo, man. And also, they had this little spider monkey. I thought it was a spider monkey. And I was supposed to do my entertainment report with the petting zoo. And so, you know, I'm standing right by the monkey, Schwani.
Talk about entertainment.
and I said, can I asked the people, you know, is it okay to pet the monkey? I'm just wondering how many times Nick DiGilio is going to play all this on his double entendres thing. So the monkey grabs my arm and is like cuddling my arm, and the lady said the monkey loves men and is very is very affectionate toward men. And this monkey is, you know, like canoodling my arm. Not doing anything naughty or anything, but he is very affectionate. And he starts climbing up my arm a little bit. And I said, he winds up sitting on my head. And he's like grabbing on, not exactly grabbing onto my ears, but like, you know, like the area sort of like above ears, so kind of like on my scalp. He's just holding on up there, and I'm doing my report, and I'm talking to the zookeeper.
As
much as you can with a straight face with a monkey on your head. You want to hear some?
Yes, I do.
Because I think we can actually hear the monkey at some point here.
This
also
is an absolute first. I've never had a monkey on my head before. What is your name?
My name is Elizabeth.
And who is on my head?
This is Lucian. He's our 4-year-old black cap capuchin.
He's very affectionate.
He loves men.
Really?
Yeah, so male capuchins bond with men before they bond with women, and it's part of their social grouping in their troop. So the man teaches them everything. Mom is used for feeding and discipline.
Okay. There's not any chance that he'll relax so much while he's sitting on me that an accident could happen.
No, he wears a diaper when we do public events.
Oh, so do I.
You're covered. So.
No wonder he likes me. So do I. What's his name again?
His name is Lucian.
Lucian. Hello, Lucian.
Say hi.
Hello.
Hello. You can kind of hear him.
He's gone quiet on us. All right. He's extremely affectionate. It's very, very pleasurable.
Please?
Except that when he scratches my neck like that. Okay, we'll... We'll send it to somebody. I'm not 100% sure.
I think it might be me, Dean.
To where?
It looks like it could be your twin brother. It's amazing.
Paul Conrad. he was like on my head, and then as the petting zoo lady was trying to get him off my head, he really, like, he didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay on, and he just sort of grabbed on. He didn't, scratch me or, you know, break skin or anything like that. But I suddenly felt his little claw on my head there. So from now on, I think when we do the Sunday show, this could be like a fun thing that we do, like a signature thing every Sunday. Anybody can do a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can do a radio show with a monkey on their head.
Very true.
So be listening next Sunday morning and find out what kind of animal we'll be sitting on.
Well, they always said we monkey around on this show. So.
Hey, with the monkeys. I've heard them all on Facebook.
Oh.
I don't know how many people have said, Dean, get the monkey off your back. And I've been trying to do that for years, by the way, but he keeps following me doing the news.
I knew that was going to happen exactly, sooner or later.
Exactly right. So how sad is the news that Toys R Us are closing?
That's awful.
I'm devastated.
I got my first big wheel there.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Dean, do you remember when it was called Bargain Town?
I do, actually.
Before it was Toys R Us?
I do, Bargain Town,
Bargain Town, USA.
Yeah. And then Jeffrey the Giraffe was introduced.
That was the mascot.
Into the whole thing. What was the Toys R Us song? What was their famous?
I don't want to grow up. Yeah. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
There's a million toys of Toys R Us that I can play with. From bikes to trains
to video games.
Biggest toy store there is. I don't want to grow up.
I'm a Toys R Us
kid. It wouldn't be a Toys R Us. More games, more toys, more. That was a quick version.
That was good.
Try to get it in 30 seconds or less.
That was good and a little scary.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
There was one right by my house, too, and like Golf Road and Milwaukee Avenue.
Wasn't it like ridiculously exhilarating?
It was awesome.
If it was your a birthday or for whatever the occasion, you had enough money, you saved up enough money from your allowance, or I used to deliver newspapers, and you get enough money and you could go to Toys R Us and just run like you were insane through the aisles. Trying to find, no, I want this. No, I'm going to get this. No, I'm going to get this instead. I'm going to get this. And I think I got a bike at Toys R Us also.
Yeah. The selection was incredible.
Oh.
I mean, everything. Anything you could imagine. And when video games got more popular, that was a place to go for Atari game cartridges.
That's right. That's very true. So where are kids going to go now and have that experience?
On their computer.
No,
yeah. No, not the experience of running around and just being overwhelmed by
Amazon
stuff.
Is that satisfying? I don't know. I mean, our kids, is that enough? To me, it was like the visceral experience of running down the aisles like you were drunk, because you had, whatever, $5 in your pocket or, something like that.
Our store was, I think, in Calumet City. Down south, it was the Calumet City area, and I remember the one on State Street right downtown here.
Right.
That was a great store.
That's right.
And they had a whole department called Babies R Us for infants.
Babies R Us. That's very true. Very true. We had one. It's still there, right near WGN TV at Belmont and Roscoe in that little shopping center that's right there. And it's sad because I think a lot of people have a Toys R Us experience, very specific Toys R Us memories. Why don't you share some of those with us here at 312-981-7200.
I don't want to grow up on a Toys R Us kid. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. They got the best for so much less. You really flip your lid.
Little Andy Mazur as a child singing the Toys R Us jingle.
How'd they get that audio?
A lot of people don't know Andy was a child jingle singer.
Exactly.
Back in the day. So if you have a gift card for Toys R Us, they say you better use it pretty quick because after they're saying in 30 days, the gift cards and endless earnings, I presume that's some sort of like frequent flyer deal, will only be honored for the next 30 days. And then they say it looks like they'll begin to shut their doors with Toys R Us within the next 60 days. If you've got, some pending things, probably a good idea to take care of all that. Valerie, what's your Toys R Us memory?
Well, I grew up not too far from WGN Studios, actually. And the store that we went to when I was a kid was the Bargain Town at Lincoln and, I think, Dakin Street. It was a tiny little store. And I just remember the anticipation whenever we'd go down Lincoln Avenue, thinking, oh, maybe Mom will stop. you know, and we'll get to go there. Or if I was invited to somebody's birthday party, that's where we went to get their present.
Oh, yeah.
And even recently last year, we took the shuttle to the Cubs game, you know, parked at the lot there, and it goes right up Lincoln Avenue. And I told my adult daughters, you know, that's the bargain town that, you know, I went to as a kid. And I just have good memories of just being there. I don't know.
Boy, you bring up such a great point that even just driving by it was enough to, you know, spark the excitement in the car. Because you thought that, you know, maybe there's a chance the car might pull into the parking lot. Great memories. Yeah. Thank you, Valerie. I appreciate that. Someone correcting me here. I said Belmont and Roscoe for the Northwest Side Toys R Us. It's actually Belmont and Western. So thank you for the correction on that. Here is Brian. You're on WGN. Good morning.
How you doing?
Great.
Good. I was listening. I was actually out in the garage, and I'm doing some work, and he had Toys R Us memories.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I got to call in. And what I still have, and actually it came from the Toys R Us in Calumet City near River Oaks.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm originally from Southeast Side Chicago, but now I live in Indiana.
Okay.
And I can remember it was 1979, 1980, I was, like, helping my grandparents do something or, you know, being the good grandson.
Doing some chores, right? Doing some chores, right?
Yeah. And I can remember, which I still have to this day, is the electronic football Super Bowl board where the players run all over.
Oh, I love those.
The thing that just vibrates, yeah. Basically, right?
That is correct. And I still have that board, which I'm actually looking at right now, and I have my players, and I do have several other boards. But the neat thing about that board is somebody could offer me $1 million, and I won't get rid of it because I still have the board, but my grandparents are not with me.
Oh, that must bring back a million memories for you every time you see it, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of neat, you know. And like me and my parents, we always talk about grandma and grandpa all the time. So it's, you know, the Toys R Us, it was really a neat store.
Yeah.
And then you can go, like, next door to Jack in the Box. I mean, it was like a full rich day.
And get some of those delicious 50-cent tacos, right?
Exactly. And I'm like, this is great. And, you know, Grandma and Grandpa said, all right, let the kids do pretty much whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my cousins was riding bicycles down the aisles playing. We were playing baseball in the store, playing catch. And,
right.
Something's in your childhood you just can't replace.
It's more than a store. It's more than a store where you went to buy merchandise. Look at the multi-layered part of Brian's life that this store represents. Yeah. And I think we all, to some extent, all have you know, the same thing.
Yeah, I know. I got certain old baseball games from Toys R Us with a sticker on labels. Yeah. And I've even bought used ones online. I don't want to mention where I got them from, but I think everybody knows. And I still have them. They get this Toys R Us sticker. Some say Value Village.
Oh, that's
cool.
Value
Village.
Value Village, yeah. That was in Dalton, I think, wasn't it? Value Village in Dalton, yeah.
And you had Dispenser's
Dispenser's Castle of Toys.
Yeah.
Those are all the places that we grew up with. Brian, great memories. I'm glad that you called up. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break, come right back and update news. I just want to share one text about Toys R Us from the 630 area code. At the Toys R Us in Melrose Park, my older son, 10 years old at the time, got excited and swung a beautiful new baseball bat right into the side of the head of my 8-year-old son.
Oh, wow.
We went to the Elmhurst ER. Everyone was fine.
Oh, boy.
You get so excited. This is a brand new baseball bat. And being the youngest of four boys, I can completely relate to that.
I'll bet you can.
My brothers would have said, Dean, stand right here. And it's okay. All right.
Boom, wham.
I was doing a little research into the Toys R Us company right after the announcement was mm-hmm. made, and it was started in the late 1940s near Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Charles Lazarus was the founder of the store. He originally just sold children's furniture, but added toys to bring back the parents and the kids, and that's what caught on.
Is that why it was called Bargain Town?
That was why it was called Bargain Town.
More than just toys, right?
And then it was the toys, which just took off, and that was it. Yeah.
And became Toys R Us.
Yeah. And the logo of the R backwards was to, emulate a child's writing with, backwards letters rather than, trying to do it.
Hey, wait a minute. That's how I print. News is sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishings. Here's Dave Schwann.
And on this Sunday before our election day on Tuesday, teams of lawyers are going across Illinois to make sure polling places are protected and accessible for Tuesday. Attorney General Lisa Madigan says nearly 200 teams of attorneys general and investigators will be out and around. Anyone who encounters any illegal or suspected improper activity can call her office. A drive-by shooting killed one person and injured another near 49th and Ashland last night. This happening around 10:30 when someone pulled alongside two people in a Chevy Equinox and began firing. The passenger in the Equinox was killed. The driver made it to the Englewood police station. They are now in stable condition. A colossal failure is the way a grieving uncle terms the circumstances that allowed a partially completed pedestrian bridge to collapse and kill his niece and five other people. Joe Smitha, whose niece, Alexa Duran, was crushed in Thursday's collapse at Florida International University, says he believes this tragedy could well have been avoided. All six victims have been found, and now authorities say DNA testing will most likely be involved to make identifications. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, we're going to find out who Loyola is going to play in the Sweet 16 later on today. The Ramblers headed to home first, and then they'll leave early in the week for Atlanta. They'll play either Nevada, a number 7 seed, or a number 2 seed Cincinnati on Thursday. The game between the Bearcats and Wolfpack will get underway around 5 o'clock tonight. Already underway in the second round of the NCAA tournament, Purdue is facing Butler. Butler has the early lead, 21-15. Isaac Haas, the center for Purdue, will not play after fracturing his elbow in the first round win for the Boilermakers. Later on, number 3 Michigan State and number 11 Syracuse meet up. It's second seeded North Carolina facing number 7 Texas A&M. 4 seed Auburn against 5th seed Clemson. Kansas State taking on number 16 UMBC. Xavier goes up against Florida State. And finally, it'll be Marshall facing West Virginia. Blackhawks against the Blues tonight at the United Center. Chris Bowden has your pregame show at 6 o'clock. Face-off with John and Troy at 6:30 here on WGN and WGNRadio.com. White Sox in Mesa today taking on the A's. And the Cubs, again, will split up their squad. They'll face Kansas City and also Cleveland. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and now Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic building on the Kennedy Expressway in both directions now. It is about a half hour now from O'Hare to downtown. From the junction to downtown, 25 minutes. On the outbound side, it is 30 minutes from downtown out to O'Hare and 15 minutes from the junction to O'Hare. And still downtown for just a little bit of time yet, 19 minutes to be exact, if all is going on schedule. The helicopter lift on Wacker Drive has closed the Wacker between Jackson and Adams until noon. The CTA continuing to reroute numbers 126 and 151 buses.
We've got some inside scoop. That they're putting up an antenna on top of the Willis Tower.
The what tower?
The Willis Tower.
Where's that?
What you talking about, Willis?
You know, it's right down the street from Marshall Fields. When you talk to Schwanny, you have to talk businesses that don't exist anymore, otherwise he doesn't understand what you're saying.
Is that by the Standard Oil Building?
And near Montgomery Wards, too, right?
Yeah, Monkey Wards, as I like to now call it.
I heard that years ago, Monkey Wards.
Hey, do we have any updates on the Russian elections that's going on right now?
Well, the commission said that over 50% of the 111 million voters, I'm not kidding, eligible voters in Russia, have cast votes. 51.9% was the last number I saw. Among those... the president, Vladimir Putin, has voted. But nothing
He's running for re-election.
Yeah, the fourth term.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? Fourth term?
Fourth term.
There's no constitutional element, apparently, in Russia that says the president can only serve two terms.
Why they
can
serve as many. Restriction?
And how about China now?
You got a problem with that, buddy?
The Chinese president can serve for life.
Right.
For life, forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But in terms of a winner, no, I have not seen anything conclusive. But how about this? Eight candidates in that field. Vladimir Putin went into today's election with a 60% margin.
There are eight people running against him. How many of those eight are still alive?
The chief opponent can't run.
We have perfectly fair elections here with no outside interference by any other countries.
Were you interviewed by Megyn Kelly the other day by any chance?
She's a very nice woman. Very, very nice. Pretty. She's a very pretty woman.
Traffic Report, sponsored by Firestone.
First we win election, then we kill moose and squirrels.
Traffic Report, sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Do you know what his campaign slogan is?
I don't know.
I was just reading it. Strong President, Strong Russia.
It's not Putin on the hits?
That would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
For traffic,
make Russia great again.
For personalized
look,
traffic,
I'm wearing red hat, and I do mean red.
You want to hear my Rudolph the Red joke?
Yeah,
you
can
do.
You tell it on the air.
Yes, I can.
We haven't gotten in trouble.
I don't know
with
if you want to hear
today.
About it or not, but yes.
What is it? Rudolph the Red.
Yes, the man's name was Rudolph the Red.
Yeah,
and he and his wife were inside, and his wife said, "Oh, look, it's snowing outside." He said, "No, it's raining." She said, "No, it's snowing." He said, "No, it's raining." She said, "Look, Rudolph, it's snowing." He said, "No, it's raining." She said, "Take another look. It's snowing." And then he said to her, "Rudolph the Red knows rain, dear." For personalized traffic on demand, get the
Dave
Traffic
Schwann
Chicago
is
app.
A very funny comedian.
Oh, I just got it.
David Schwann is known as Jerry Seinfeld of Russia. Very, very, very funny man. Now I take my shirt off and ride a horse.
For personalized traffic on demand, get Traffic Chicago app.
Da.
Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And all of this is sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care for their epic sales event. Get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Restrictions and exclusions apply. Details at driveafirestone.com. Forecast from WGN Chicago Weather Center.
This is official forecast.
Official forecast.
There is no other forecast but this forecast for you.
Sunny
tonight.
Today. High mid-50s. Cooler near lake. Fair overnight. Low in the upper 20s, Midland. Middle 30s, downtown. Sunshine tomorrow, dent clouds. Highs mid-40s inland. 30s near lake.
What is wind chill index in Siberia right now?
We are far-flung forecast. We're in Siberia once.
Was it?
Yes.
We're very international.
We have 48 O'Hare, 48 Midway, 46 Lakefront. Get Chicago news first at top of every hour. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Blame myself for this.
Rudolph the Red.
I
knows
got it.
Rain.
Got it.
Dear.
Got it. Everybody's going to be retelling that. They're groaning now, but they're going to go, "Hey, you want to know a Rudolph joke?"
I'm going to put that on our Echo, our Amazon Echo update.
Okay. All right. We'll put it on a podcast or whatever it is that we do.
With Tom, the Dodd podcast.
Tom does something with this show. Pretty sure the Russians are hacking. I'm not sure what it is, but. So anyway, regarding elections, by the way, tomorrow will be the last day that you can early vote, right? You can go to the polls tomorrow and early vote still tomorrow.
Right.
And then election day, of course, is Tuesday.
Polls open at 6.
And we gave a website earlier, and I just want to mention it again real quick. VoteForJudges.org that gives the recommendations of a variety of different bar associations. You know, if you, you know, you think your feelings and thinking might coincide best with a particular bar association, the Hispanic Bar Association, Chicago Council of Lawyers, Lesbian and Gay Bar Association, Asian American Bar Association, etc. There's about eight or nine of them. You can go to this website, see who they recommend for some of the judicial balloting, and you can take it right into the polling place with you and make an informed decision on some of these judicial elections. And, you know, vote. It's important that we all participate. I have to say, you know, there were lots of politicians at the St. Patrick's Day Parade yesterday where I was on the WGN TV float. But right next to us in the parade was the Chris Kennedy contingency. It was the candidate for governor himself and a lot of his followers. And, you know, they were out there with T-shirts and flags and all that. But it really, it kind of struck me a little bit. Because I was a huge fan of his dad, Robert F. Kennedy. I can remember details about the night specifically in which he was killed that really affected me greatly. I was a little moved that, you know, here's Chris Kennedy. His dad was one of my heroes growing up. His uncle is President Kennedy. His uncle is President John F. Kennedy. So, you know, whoever you decide to vote for, it was kind of cool to actually see him up close. And that Bryan Adams music that we were just playing a few minutes ago ties in with our next guest on the show, Grammy Award winner Bryan Adams, who was here with us on WGN when I filled in for Steve Cochran. He was here with the director of Pretty Woman the Musical, Jerry Mitchell, two-time Tony Award winner Jerry Mitchell. As they get set to present the musical adaptation of the Julia Roberts, Richard Gere film that will have its pre-Broadway tryout here in Chicago. They'll do some tweaking on it before they take it to New York. And it was a real pleasure to be able to talk with both Jerry Mitchell and Bryan Adams. I'm just going to start with you, Jerry, because you love bringing your shows. This is going to world premiere here in Chicago before it goes to Broadway.
Yeah.
You love bringing your shows here to Chicago first before you take them to Broadway.
I do. I love Chicago for a lot of reasons. The audience is smart. You know, I often say that the audience. But another reason I love Chicago, I have to say, is the crew, the backstage, the local crew that is in Chicago, both at the Old Schubert Theater and at the Oriental Theater, which is the places where I have tried my out-of-town shows. The men and women who work backstage at those theaters are exceptional craftsmen. And when you're creating something new, you need people in the building who get it, who understand the speed and pace at which you're making changes.
Right.
So every night, you know, what people don't understand is they come to see the show here, but every day the cast is working to make changes, and then we implement those changes every evening to continue to develop the show in preparation for a Broadway opening.
Yeah, now the show's not going to open here in Chicago until
the 28th, I think.
Right.
Start previews
on the 13th.
Yes, next week.
So you were just telling us during the break a minute ago that you guys were working till like
last night. We wrapped
at
11:30.
Wow.
And then had a little tech meeting afterwards. We'll start today with everyone. Well, the crew's already there. They start at 8 a.m. And then the cast comes in at 1. Today we add the orchestra for the very first time, which is thrilling.
Oh.
And then
enter Mr. Bryan Adams into the story.
We start
now
the second act. Yeah,
yeah. No, it's very exciting. The band arrives today, so we've got to take it to another level now.
Well, the band has been practicing, but this is the first time we integrate them with the cast on stage.
Bring
with
it all
the sound
together. Wow.
All in the theater.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's got to be kind of a magical moment.
The whole thing's magical. I mean, I've been sitting here with Jim Vallis, my co-writer, and Jerry in little rooms. And we first started in Chicago, to be honest, 2 years ago with Gary Marshall. We sat in the Public Hotel, and for a week here, we sort of brainstormed and workshopped the ideas of how we were going to take this idea, this book that J.F. Lawton had written, and Gary Marshall and how we were going to make this into a musical. Now, I have no experience in this at all. I'm just a rocker from Canada. But I do
just
have...
Just a rocker from Canada.
Just a rock star. Right.
But I was open to the idea of, you know, seeing what I could, you know, I could lend my music to this, and was very excited about the opportunity. And we sat with Jerry every day, and it was so interesting to be able to go, okay, this is what we need here. And I go, well, let's go and come back in a couple hours. And we would do that. And every day we would bring back ideas, and Jerry would give us feedback. And in that week, we sort of assembled a couple of really good things, which was sort of the foundation of what is now the musical here, which we're about to present here in Chicago.
Is that a little weird for you? Because normally, you're the final say, right? For, I mean, for your albums and what we know you for. you write a song and go, that's pretty much where I want it to be. You don't have somebody else breathing over your shoulder going, go back and work some more. I want it better.
Yes and no. I mean, when you're working on an album, usually in the past, I've hired a producer to kick my butt. Because not that I needed it, but it's interesting to see what someone else will push you to do. And I worked with the great Mutt Lang, for example, for many years, and he got vocal performances out of me that nobody has ever been able to get since. It's not because I'm lazy, it's just that he was able to push me, try this. So Jerry's the same way. He's making me rethink the songs and add to the songs to help the story, because we need to tell a story here. It's very important that each song, you know, moves the story along to the next one, to the next vignette of the script scene.
Yeah, right.
So, you know,
and I'm not alone in that. I mean, we have an amazing musical director, Will Van Dyke, who I worked with on Kinky Boots under Stephen Arimus, and Will has been in the theater for a long time, and so as a musical director of musicals, he's able to help Brian and Jim also, and so we're a real team. And you know, the idea of writing a song, you know, in a film, someone's in a close up, and you get so much emotion just from their face, without a word, without anything. That's often a place to look at in a film. Of does that moment sing? Does that moment warrant singing on stage? Yeah. Because you can't get that close to the face on stage.
Right.
So often those moments become moments for the characters to tell you something they're feeling.
Yeah. Often that can be so cumbersome, right?
Yeah.
When you're trying to tell a story and then suddenly a song drops like an anvil in the middle of a show, that it has to be done so carefully.
And the characters in a movie, you know, I get offered a lot of movies to turn into musicals, but the characters in the movie have to be larger than life to me and vulnerable characters, and that's certainly Vivian and Edward's story.
That's what he likes about me.
Vulnerable character.
Larger than life.
Brian Adams and Jerry Mitchell from Pretty Woman the Musical. Brian Adams, by the way, is going to be performing at Ravinia this year. He'll be there Friday, June 29th. Go to ravinia.org. They just announced their 2018 concert schedule. You get all the information about who is going to be there when and when tickets go on sale, etc. Pretty Woman the Musical at the Oriental Theater. It's in previews right now, and it'll be here about till early April. Then it'll move to New York, and they'll put it up on Broadway and see how it all goes. Quick break. We're getting ready for our Food Time show today, talking about restaurants that define neighborhoods in Chicago. Brand new book that's out. It's all coming up on WGN. The news is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Company and Fireplace. Here is Dave Juan.
Mostly sunny and 48 at O'Hare, with the winner of Russia's presidential election today not in doubt. Vladimir Putin is going for a big turnout today. Days ago, the U.S. Treasury Department leveled new sanctions against Russia in response to Russia's meddling in the U.S. presidential election. ABC News chief, foreign correspondent Terry Moran, is in Moscow.
They aren't targeted at ordinary people, and so they aren't feeling the bite, although the economy has taken a huge hit since Putin engineered the takeover of Crimea several years ago. But people are worried about the economy. There's a stagnation right now. And that really is Putin's big challenge as he goes for his unprecedented fourth term and maybe beyond.
And in Britain, the foreign minister there today said he has evidence that Russia has been stockpiling a nerve agent in violation of international law, quote, very likely for the purposes of assassination. Those are the words of Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson, said the trail of blame for the poisoning of former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia in the English city of Salisbury leads inexorably to the Kremlin. Nine people were injured, one seriously, after a police chase in Chicago's Lawndale neighborhood last night. Police responding to a call of shots fired in the 1800 block of South Springfield. When they arrived, they tried to stop a car, but it sped away, running a stop sign and crashing into three other cars. Charges are pending. No word if charges will be filed after a car was pushed through the wall of a restaurant in Northlake yesterday. This happening at Mannheim Road and Major Drive. The driver of a pickup truck told police he hit a pothole and lost control. The truck then veered into the parking lot of Victoria's restaurant, hit a parked car, and pushed it through the wall. Police are continuing their investigation into the death of a 24-year-old man who fell from the 21st floor of a high-rise building last night in the 200 block of North Dearborn, this happening just after 6 yesterday evening. And spring comes in at 11:15 Tuesday morning, but WGN meteorologist Mike Hammernick says it won't quite feel like it.
Tuesday's looking kind of chilly. It's also election day, a high of 42 on Tuesday, and there may be a few flurries around on Wednesday. So cool but dry, that's really the theme for most of this upcoming week.
And Hammernick says it'll remain on the cool side for a little while yet.
At least it'll be, you know, people can't say it was too cold, I'm not going to go.
No.
It's too snowy. I can't get out of the house.
No, it's going to be a little on the windy side, but there's no precipitation in the forecast for Tuesday.
Yeah.
So
get out there, please. Get out there and vote.
Do indeed. That's what we should do. It is our right and our privilege. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Loyola is safely out of the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1985. Ramblers get there after another heroic shot late in a game. Senior guard Ben Richardson reflected on what this win means not only to the team, but to the Loyola faithful.
It's great to, you know, get some exposure for our school and our fans. And, you know, on the national stage, you know, we know there's so many Loyola fans that have come up to us, you know, that have been fans, you know, since 63, the national championship team, and they're so proud of us, and it just means the world to us to you know, bring that pride back to this program.
And we'll find out who Loyola is going to play in the Sweet 16 later on today. Ramblers headed home before leaving early in the week for Atlanta. They'll play either 7th-seeded Nevada or 2nd-seeded Cincinnati on Thursday. That game will come up a little bit later on tonight.
I'm hearing that there's going to be kind of a pep rally for them.
Yeah, a little gathering, I believe.
A little welcome for the team tomorrow.
I think it's actually today because they're coming back. I believe they're flying back
later
today.
This afternoon.
I think it's 3:30-ish,
right,
if I'm not mistaken.
At the Joe Gentile Arena?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, it'll be a well-deserved.
Arena, right?
Yeah.
Joe Gentile Arena.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a nice little welcome back for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Underway in the tournament today, Butler trails Purdue 40-36. That game has just gone to the half. Coming up, it'll be Michigan State and Syracuse, also second seed of North Carolina, taking on Texas A&M today. Auburn and Clemson will meet up. Kansas State taking on Cinderella, number 16, UMBC. That's Maryland, Baltimore County. Top-seeded Xavier will go up against Florida State. And finally tonight will be Marshall against West Virginia. Blackhawks are going to try to rebound from another third-period collapse yesterday. They're going to host the Blues tonight at the United Center. Chris Bowden has your pregame at 6. The face-off, John and Troy at 6:30 here on WGN and WGNRadio.com. White Sox will play in Mesa today against the A's. They won yesterday against the Dodgers 5-2. Cubs will once again split their squad today. They'll face Kansas City and Cleveland. And on the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and now Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, looking at delays on the Kennedy now. From O'Hare into downtown, it's a 35-minute trip. Downtown out to O'Hare, 33. On the Eisenhower, a bit slow now from Wolf Road to downtown, about a half-hour trip there, 25 minutes from downtown out to Wolf Road. Other than that, we look good on our expressways and tollways. The area on Upper Wacker Drive between Jackson and Adams has now been cleared. The CTA was rerouting buses through there, but apparently the helicopter lift has been lifted and all is complete. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The WGN forecast, sunny today, high in the mid-50s, a little cooler near the lake. Fair tonight. low in the upper 20s inland to the middle 30s downtown. We start with some sun tomorrow, but then increasing clouds, highs in the 40s inland, the 30s near the lake. We are now up to 52 at O'Hare, 51 at Midway, and 50 along Chicago's lakefront. Oh, I haven't heard a woo in a while.
I'm getting wooed out.
I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own Woohoo 720 WGN. It's a beautiful day.
What do people say that they're not going to vote in the primary? They don't feel like the primary is important enough.
Hey, you don't have a winner in the primary. What are you going to have in the general election?
I think it's important to, you know, support the people that, that participate in the process. I think it's very, very important. My dad instilled this in me, really, when we were little. Both of my parents did, really. But my dad was a proud American. He would take us into the polling place with him.
Oh, we did the same thing.
We went in. You know, that was in the day where you went in, you pulled the lever to the side, and the curtain closed behind you.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made his choices. He would take my little finger and, you know, tell me, push this lever. And
oh, he took you into the booth?
Into the voting booth.
Oh, I didn't get to do that.
Yeah, we went into the voting booth with him and pushed the little levers, and then you pulled the giant the lever again, and the curtains would open, and you felt like you were an American.
You were important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You felt like you had a say in that whole thing. And, you know, really, when you have an election like they did this week that was only decided by a very small number of votes, does anything scream that we all, you know, that one vote does count, you know, that a handful of votes does make a big difference? That's why everyone needs to go out there. I've been mentioning this website for the judicial candidates. Let me find it again. Where you can take a look at what various bar associations are saying about some of the judicial candidates, and they make their recommendations. Very easy to follow. You can I pull it up on my phone, and you can just take it right into the ballot, the little cubicle with you into the polling place where you vote. It's called voteforjudges.org. I highly recommend that you take a look at that. But people have been sending me, other websites to take a look at just to make your own informed decision. None of these are partisan websites. They simply show what the positions of the various candidates are. If you're undecided about something, you know, vote based on how you feel about issues. Not because you like a person's name or their hairstyle or, you know, some of the silly reasons that people legitimately do actually vote. But the League of Women Voters of Illinois has a great website with all kinds of information. And you can, if you go on the website and look around, you'll see that there's a place where you can go to learn the positions of the various candidates for all the offices in the state of Illinois. From governor on down, the gubernatorial election on down. So that's one that you can go to. There's another that somebody recommended to us that's called politicsone.com, politics and then the number 1.com. And that also shows the positions of the various candidates where they stand on certain issues. So, you know, you can go ahead and take a look at that. And make your informed choices on that. And, Schwani, let me just make sure I have all this correct, that tomorrow is the last day for early voting, right?
Right, yes. And polls open at 6 a.m. Tuesday.
Okay, and 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., is that how?
That sounds right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, you were mentioning voteforjudges.org. 12 different bar associations have posted their results. So, yes, it's not a partisan thing. It's a mixture of impartial endorsements for these candidates. And then you
people,
can make up
these
your
are
mind.
People who know they know who the candidates are. They know judges that are seeking to be retained. They know the people who are trying to get their first
judgeship
appointment.
Yeah.
Judgeship. They are familiar with these people and whether or not they're qualified. You know, I'm looking at some right now. Here's a candidate for. Let me see. This is a candidate for judge. looking to fill the vacancy of the Honorable Deborah M. Dooling. And one, there are three candidates here. One of them is considered not recommended by every single bar association.
No recommendation at all.
I won't mention the name of it. I don't, you know, I'm not sure that that's fair. But if, you know, if you go here, I mean, this is what you can look at. If you look at, you know, the various judicial races, you'll come to the ones that are applicable in your area, and you'll look and see, okay, here are the three people. You look, and in this particular race, some people are rated qualified, some people are rated recommended by these, what did you say, 12 different bar associations?
12, and for voteforjudges.org is 12 different bar groups, yes.
So, you know, of these three candidates in this one particular race, two of them are rated qualified and recommended, and this one, the other one, across the board, all of the bar associations not recommended. So there's, you know, here's you know, if you want to make an informed decision from people who work the legal system that go before these judges, you know, it might be helpful to you. And it's, again, voteforjudges.org. I think it's a great site.
Yeah, it's a solution because of the fact that we don't know all of these candidates, and there are a lot of them. A solution for a voter to make some sort of a, you know, intelligent
informed decision. Right.
An informed decision on who to vote for, yes.
Yeah, exactly right. And I'm still waiting for them to put into effect the ruling on elections that I've been advocating for decades now. Whatever politician doesn't clean up the crap that they've put up all over the city, signs, you know, light post posters, et cetera. If you don't clean up your stuff, you're immediately fired from whatever the position is.
Let's make a referendum on that.
Yeah, I'd be for that 100%. Clean up your stuff.
The end of the ballot. Do you feel that a politician should clean up their campaign literature after the election?
No, it should be. Should they be fired from their
should
job?
Should they be fired
they
from office?
And imprisoned for at least 20 years. If you don't clean up your stuff, imprisoned for 20 years. There's an incentive to clean up your stuff.
Those crews will be out within hours.
All right, maybe 15 years. I'm willing
leniency.
To compromise.
Leniency, right?
I'm willing to compromise. 15 years in prison, no parole. welcome to our Food Time show. You'll have to all sing your own theme songs individually now as we welcome in the author of a brand new book that's just out called Local Flavor, Restaurants That Shaped Chicago's Neighborhood. It's a book about Chicago restaurants, but it's a little bit about Chicago history at the same time. Our Food Time show is sponsored by our friends at the Greek Islands Restaurant. Gene Iverson is the author of this book. Gene, welcome to WGN. Welcome back to WGN.
I know. Hi, Dean.
Nice
Thank
to have you
for having me.
She pointed out to me during the news that you were last here 10 years ago.
It's been about 10 years.
What was the book 10 years ago?
So my first book was called BYOB Chicago, which was a dining guide to all the bring-your-own-bottle restaurants in Chicagoland.
Which are still my favorites, by the way.
Absolutely, me too.
Yeah, I think it's just such a great, it's a huge money saver. And, you know, you can choose whatever kind of wines or whatever you choose to bring by yourself and save all kinds of money at the same time. The new book is an interesting one, Local Flavor, Restaurants That Shaped Chicago's Neighborhoods. Now, describe what the concept of this is, because it's a book about old school Chicago restaurants and sort of how they defined the neighborhoods in which they have been residing, many of them for decades and decades and decades.
Decades, I know. It's unbelievable. Restaurants have notoriously high failure rates. So the concept for Local Flavor was I really wanted to chronicle, in this case, eight eateries, iconic restaurants in Chicago. And I was inspired, actually, while I was writing BYOB Chicago, because so many BYOBs are ethnic restaurants in our neighborhoods, you know, single location, storefronts, established by immigrants who came here to Chicago from so long ago. And I developed a deep appreciation for what they do and what they bring to the city. And I was particularly struck by some of the restaurateurs that I met along the way, and some are in the book.
Yeah,
well, and then they inspired me to write the other stories.
Yeah, so, we'll talk about some. We'll talk about. I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of them.
Right.
We'll talk about many of them here today because they're great stories about some of the great Chicago restaurants. Not necessarily the ones that show up in, you know, the Michelin guides that come out, which you might call the five-star restaurants, but I would go to the restaurants that you've listed in your book anytime over a five-star restaurant because of, you know, the consistency of the food, but the warmth of the people who work there, the absolute Chicago neighborhood charm that each of these restaurants represent. And also what I like about it, I hadn't really thought about this until I read your book, and you kind of notice the theme of the people who started these restaurants decades ago, that each and every one of these stories is really like, you know, the great American success story of, as you say, immigrants that came here with virtually nothing and really made a go of it. They worked hard. They worked tirelessly.
Right.
And passed on their businesses. You know, the families worked in the businesses and, you know, improved them and grew them and so forth. But this book is really kind of what America is about, that anybody can make it if they want to.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you said, they work tirelessly. And some of these restaurants are on their fifth generation.
Wow.
Of owner-operator. I mean, think about it. If you're lucky enough to establish a restaurant and make a go of it for 5 years, you're doing really well. But right. To be able to have a family member and pass it on to them who also has restaurant life in their blood, because not everybody has this in their, you know, not everybody has a passion for the restaurant business. It takes a very special person to be able to juggle all the details and be a people person and a business person and be passionate about food. But to be able to pass it on to that many generations is becoming more and more and more rare. I probably don't have to tell your listeners. Every day we're reading about, oh gosh, so-and-so closed.
This restaurant closed, that restaurant closed, or long-time businesses, you know, businesses, family businesses that have been in operations that are being massacred by big box stores that, you know, come in. And, part of the character of a neighborhood and therefore of the city gets homogenized. It kind of goes away a little bit, and that makes me sad when that happens. I'm not one to live in the past. I'm not one to say that everything in the past was better than it is today. But in these cases, these are fantastic places that are so character filled, so dimensional. Mm-hmm. They cannot possibly be replaced by some franchise restaurant coming in or some fly by night restaurant that, you know, might get 4 or 5 stars for a year and then be gone after a year or two.
I felt compelled to document some of these stories because I feel they are reflective of so many families who have immigrated here. And I wanted to document. I feel like food tells so many stories, and it tells so many stories about our history here in Chicago. So that was really my primary motivation.
Yeah. Well, I want you to tell the story of some of these great people. Including a restaurant that I've talked about nonstop since I've started working here at WGN, Tofano's Vernon Tap restaurant.
Tofano's.
In the Little Italy area, which has consistently been one of my favorites. We'll talk about that and many others when we come back. And I also want to open up the phone lines for restaurants that our listeners feel are significant restaurants to them, that means something to them in that way, representing that kind of history and dimension and culture. 312-981-7200. We'll come back and talk more about local flavor restaurants that shaped Chicago's neighborhoods after a quick break. WGN. And Gene, I want to talk about one of the ones that I talk about here all the time because I love it. And I've been going there for years, and that's Tofano's Vernon Tap.
Yes,
that is. It's right in smack dab in the middle of the UIC campus.
Yep,
on a little side street, As I've said a million times, it's the place where they make the greatest eggplant Parmesan in the history of eggplant Parmesan, hands down. I've been around the world and tried eggplant Parmesan in a lot of places. I have never had it better than Tofano's, but their lemon chicken is famous. Their special salad is famous. The food is delicious. But there is, as wonderful as the food is, the history of this restaurant, going back generations, five generations in this family, is just as rich.
And by the way, the recipe for lemon chicken is in the book. The family was generous enough to pass that on. Wow. So we tried to make the ingredients more proportionate for the home cook.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so that and their fried calamari.
Fried calamari
as well.
Is great. I did see the recipe for that there too, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, the family... in the restaurant, the fifth generation, the family that came here to America is working there now. Joey DeBono, fourth generation, is owner operator. But if you know about Tofano's Vernon Park Tap, but there was actually a Tofano's Bakery at the beginning of the 20th century. The first generation, Marie and Dominic Tofano, opened up a bakery on what is now the UIC parking lot, as you as you pointed out, and they closed down in the late 40s. They were Tofano's. They don't have a sign. They're on a dead end street that's also shut off on another side by a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, but because of the university they built up around it,
right? And they were spared if they had been on the other side, the north side of Vernon Park. They'd be gone because UIC displaced about a square mile of Little Italy to build used to be called Circle Campus. Now it's UIC. But so they were literally on the right side of the street when they opened.
Talk about their evolution, though, from from being a bakery to the Tofano's that we know now, that you can't even get in before a Blackhawks game.
Right.
Because everybody goes there before the Blackhawks game. A lot of people go there after the Blackhawks game. Anything that's going on at UIC, of concerts, but any night that you go there, the place is packed because people love the food, the ambiance. It's a very casual and relaxed.
Very casual, yes.
But talk about its evolution, though, from when it was a bakery to now when... Joey is running it with his family and his daughters and his sisters and, his family that are all running the place now.
Well, the bakery was on South Aberdeen, a block, block away. That was demolished. But Tofano's Vernon Park Tap opened in 1930 by the second generation. Joseph DeBono and Teresa Tofano DeBono opened up. And it was informally called Pepo Zeke's. That was Joseph DeBono's nickname. And it was a tavern. It was a tavern. And when you walk in now, you walk
just
into a bar.
It was just a tavern?
They had I think he said they had 12 tables and a very small kitchen.
Okay.
But you had to knock to get in. You couldn't just walk in.
I love that.
You had to be allowed, and I've heard that story from some of the locals.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the neighborhood, their families have also been there for the same amount of time, all from Acerra, Italy. And so they opened 1930 as a tavern. Now that was Prohibition era. So that's another interesting part of Chicago's history. And then so they had a small kitchen, and they would crank it. Lemon chicken's been there since 1930.
Right.
And they would carry pizza over from the bakery while it was still open. And they're famous for their Neapolitan pizza, obviously, many, many years before.
Yeah, before
it became
the trendy
here in Chicago. They had a brick oven pizza in the apartment next door, and a pass-through window. They would use the apartment as a kitchen, auxiliary kitchen, and the pass-through window is still there. They'll point it out to you, but it's been sealed off. And one of the family members actually still lives in that apartment, but she said, "Hey, can you seal that off? It smells like calamari in here." It's really, and they'll point it out to you, no problem. But by the time Joey took over in the mid 80s after his father passed away, so he's the fourth generation now in the family business, and he took it from a 50-seat, you know, tavern/casual restaurant to what it is now, which, you know, they built on a back room. He dug out a basement. I think he said his mom's garage is now the back room, and there's a main dining room, and there was a front part that was converted into another dining room. And then they added the patio not too long ago.
Right.
So really, Joey has taken it from that small 50-seat cramped kitchen, you know, place to what is now, I think, a destination restaurant. Yeah.
When did it become such a celebrity hangout? And I don't mean dopes like me that go there all the time. Although
on.
I am very proud that my picture hangs right outside the men's room door. You go to the men's room, and Uncle Dean's the first face you see when you come out of the men's room. But, I mean, there are some heavy hitters there, like Jack Nicholson, and anybody who is anybody in sports goes to Tofano's when they're in Chicago.
Well, in the old days, it used to be the crooners, you know, the singers that came in. Jerry Lewis has been there, Frank Sinatra. And then as United Center, as you said, was built in the neighborhood, then that ushered in what Joey calls the Jordan days. And that's when he was able to expand and really cater to that customer base. And now you see sports jerseys. And he's a hockey. Joey was a hockey player, actually, at Loyola before he became a restaurateur. And so Bobby Hull used to come in, and a lot of the Blackhawks players used to come in. So it became more of a sports place because the new generation and United Center.
Yeah, and all the sportscasters would go there. But, it must be such a point of pride for that neighborhood that was literally torn apart when the Circle Campus, as it was called back in the day, but now UIC, when that came in and ripped the neighborhood, Little Italy, apart like that, that Tofano's not only survived that, but has thrived.
Yeah.
And so, what this book really is about, of a restaurant being sort of self-defining a neighborhood, this one really does.
It really does.
It's a point of pride for the people who have lived in that area for generations.
Right, and it defies all the odds. It's a cash-only restaurant. Like I said, it's in this location that, I mean, you have to find Tofano's.
Yeah.
Tofano's is not out doing ads online. I didn't even have a website until Joey's daughter, you know, insisted, like, hey, Dad, we need a website here.
Right.
You know, it's a very unconventional place. I don't even think they take reservations by cash only. Some of the servers have been there for 30 years. So when you walk in and you're they know you by name.
They know you by name.
They know what you like.
Right.
Your regular, you know, do you want your usual?
Yeah.
That goes a long way. That sounds like a very simple thing, but that goes a very long way.
Yeah, I've been going there forever. So when I go in, they go, we put two eggplant aside for you.
Yeah.
Because they know that I'm going to get the eggplant no matter what else, because I love it so much. It's Tofano's Vernon Park Tap, 1073 West Vernon Park Place, right off of Racine.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Racine, what would be the cross?
I think May, but again, it's shut off on all sides except for Racine. So the only way to get there directly by car is to turn east off of Racine.
Put it in your GPS, you'll find it. That's the new everything. Real quick, talk to me about the Red Apple Buffet. That's another one for people of Polish descent. Another restaurant that really has, helps to define the northwest side of Chicago as one of the strongest Polish communities in the world.
Yeah, some people call owner Anna Hebel the mayor of Chicago's Polonia. Just like we have gateway neighborhoods, you know, a lot of Polish immigrants came to Chicago between the early 70s and 2000. I think we've had 100,000 people, 100,000 Polish immigrants come to Chicago. And Avondale was the gateway neighborhood, the destination neighborhood for them. And so I look at Red Apple as the gateway Polish restaurant. If you want to experience authentic, good Polish food, then you go to Red Apple. So whether you're from that culture or you're not, it's a place to experience, like I said, not only great food. And another place that flies in the face of convention. I mean, you think of buffet, and I think there might be a stigma to that. You know, we think of buffet, but Anna's food is made to order, it's small batch, it's organic. She's been doing these things since, you know, the 80s. Again, before it was trendy.
Yeah, when you say all those things, you know, organic and made to order and blah, 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 in parentheses, homemade, you know, in parentheses, like mom would have made for her family, you know, the best quality, and you serve it to your family, your customers who are coming in.
Right. I mean, they're literally filling, there's these small ceramic dishes at the buffet, and there's these hot coils that run underneath. And these chefs are running in and out. You know, if you're at the buffet grazing and kind of a, what should I have next? You better watch if the cooks come out.
Yeah.
They're like, I got another batch of pierogi in the kitchen. Yeah. I have to unload these. So it's great food. It really is one of the best deals too. All these places are really reasonably priced too. That's another benefit of these places is that, you know, like BYOBs. I mean, you're not getting raked over the coals. I think they're all a great value.
Yeah, 3121 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago. Kathy, how about you? What's a restaurant that you think really, you know, defines a neighborhood?
La Scarola restaurant.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
At Halsted, Milwaukee, and Grand. And it has such a rich history because it's Joey Mondelli of Kelly Mondelli's, who knew Sinatra and De Niro and had them all come and eat with him. And now he's combined with Armando Vasquez, and they have this restaurant that on Monday night you wait an hour and a half to get in. It's amazing.
It's another one of these great old-school Chicago restaurants that where the food is good and it's plentiful. I mean, nobody will ever walk away hungry at La Scarola. That's
for
sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the floor show that Armando puts on for everyone.
Yeah.
He should be on television, that guy.
Tequila.
Yeah, right. Right. How do you think?
The food is incredible. I mean, his Vesuvio, his eggplant parmesan is great too. I know you were talking about that, but he has this veal chop a la gabi, and it reminds me of the Flintstones. You know, when they put the ribs and the car falls over,
right.
The chop like falls off the plate. It's tender and crispy, and it's just delicious. But you never know who you're going to see there. I think that's what you guys were talking about. I mean, you could see Bobby Valentine, you could see Tommy Lasorda, you could see Anthony Rizzo, or you could see Faye Dunaway there. I mean, he gets all the stars, and but it's the people, too. I mean, you sit there and you start talking to people, and it's just like being in your own home. I'm Italian, so it reminds me of how it used to be on Sundays with the family.
Exactly.
You know, it's just warm and inviting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I sometimes wonder if there's like a, you know, celebrities have a secret restaurant guide for every city, you know, and when they come to Chicago, you know, do they open their little Chicago restaurant guide and they know that there are a few places where you got to go no matter what, you got to go to some of these places.
Well, I know, buddy,
they have a good sense.
Yeah.
Buddy Guy brought his crew there. You know, last time I was there, I saw him with the table of his band. And so, yeah, it draws a cross section of people. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Kathy, thanks for the call. This is Glenn. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how you doing, Dean?
Good.
Sabatino's up on Irvin Park.
Oh, yeah.
They've been around for 40, 45 years, if not more. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know it started out as a fairly small restaurant, but anything you order there is good. Service is outstanding. They've had people there. I think there's been one. It's the original owners there. But,
yeah. I was there last week. I go there all the time. I love Sabatino's. I love Sabatino's. Yeah, it's on Irving Park, just west of the expressway.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, old school Italian.
Exactly.
Plentiful food, warm service, warm, you know, owners, servers, et cetera. It's all great. And kind of defines, it's very, what is that quality, you think, Gene, of, you know, defining an area, neighborhood, defining, you know, putting those roots in that people gather around and have such warm feelings like Glenn does for Sabatino's.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just a culinary experience. It's a cultural experience. You are greeted by, you know, this is the Italian culture. This is how this is what these restaurateurs are bringing to Chicago is that experience. And a lot of these places don't adapt their menus for American taste. They want to bring a more authentic feel to the menu. So I think that's also attractive to people, and that's one of the reasons why we enjoy going to these establishments.
Yeah, Glenn, thanks for the call. I couldn't agree with you more about that. You have listed in here from Chinatown, One Cow, which is sadly now closed, and the Parthenon in Greektown, also now sadly closed, but you've got Noon Kebab, Persian restaurant on North Kedzie in this area that has become a very Middle Eastern centric food area now. Noon Kebab probably has been there longer than anyone else, I think, but also kind of leading the way of, and there's a wonderful Lebanese restaurant down the street. There is one great Middle Eastern restaurant after another up and down Kedzie Avenue.
Well, in business for 21 years, Noon Kebab is actually the youngest restaurant my book.
Only
21 years old.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
They're on their second generation, Mir Nagavi. He's also called the mayor of Albany Park. Yeah. Alderman Deb Mel calls him the mayor. There's a community that's at, you know, this is a destination restaurant. You want Persian culture, Persian food. The language, everything. I actually live very close to there, and I cannot say enough about their kebabs. They're truly the most tender kebabs I've ever had in my life, but also just he's a wonderful, wonderful host. So.
Yeah, but also is so quintessential to that neighborhood and the character of the Albany Park neighborhood there. You got to take a look at this book. It's called Local Flavor. You're going to be talking about it at the bookseller, right?
Yes.
This coming week?
This Wednesday, the 21st, 7 o'clock. The owner of Bookseller has a monthly local author night, so I'll be one of the speakers, and I'll be there signing books.
Good deal. It's 4736 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago, Wednesday night. Gene Iverson, Local Flavor, Restaurants That Shaped Chicago's Neighborhoods. Be back in just a second to wrap things up, make way for Frank Fontana coming up.